Get out of here.
The views expressed on the previous programs are those of the hosts, guests, and callers.
Who
and
was that? Joey what?
Of the Beasley Broadcast
oh,
Group,
geez.
Its staff, advertisers, or agencies.
Wow.
The biggest name.
Sure makes me want to take a lot of calls. Don't it make you?
Sports Radio
huh?
560
right.
WQAM.
Not.
Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
I hate you.
Goodbye, Rumsfeld. Drop dead and burn in hell. It's much too late to confess that Iraq was just for oil. We hope you die of festering boil.
Absolutely.
You know you're pretty stinking old, but evil never dies, so how about a nice refreshing dunk on the waterboard that your pals at Blackwater asked for?
All right.
And there were many unknowns, and knowns you didn't know, that mostly were unknowns. Go tell the Germans about your plans for concentration camps. Your Pentagon press agency has met its end. Just like Bush on down, you're a failure and disgrace, the harbinger of death.
So I was just thinking, what about Brady Quinn's, Tom Brady's head on Brady Quinn's body? That's my new goal, a designer human.
Yeah, going to be old Doc Frankenstein there.
10:02 at 560 WQM, happy Wednesday, November 15th. It's WW, it's Woodbine Wednesday. It means George is going to be putting up that new poll for tomorrow, even though I already sent it along.
Or not.
Or maybe he'll just be in a drunken stupor by that time this afternoon.
Sure, all wasted.
Or maybe he'll be up at Gulfstream with a hot machine man, but I doubt it.
Right.
We'll get to that. So anyway, I was Googling right before the show, too, and you interrupted my Googling there. I was finding some really interesting. You know, if you Google almost anything and you figure, oh, it can't possibly be on there, you know.
Surprise.
Like Brady Quinn shirtless. I just Googled that just to see if there was, like, any pictures. Wow.
Wow.
Anyway. No, actually, Tom Brady, from the chin down, he ain't nothing. You know, he's got a really weak body. I just mentioned that for all you fags. I mean, all you ladies out there. Here's some really great news for all of us fat people who are always trying to rationalize our aberrant, unacceptable, self-destructive behavior. Two tablespoons full of dark chocolate a day is good for your health, a new study has found. They keep coming up with these new studies. If you drink like a gallon of wine every day and you drink like and you eat like 10 tubs of dark chocolate, the sweet treat has a similar biochemical effect to aspirin and can reduce the likelihood of blood clotting. You won't be saying oil clot. Or oil clog. Researchers at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and Bloomberg School of Pubic Health made the discovery when 139 people were disqualified from a larger study looking at the effects of aspirin on blood platelets. These offenders were told, oh, that would have going to be a good grips, and it could, like, just vanished.
Should that have been platelets?
I beg your pardon?
Never mind.
Blood platelets. Are you interrupting and correcting me again?
No, it was Josh.
These offenders were told to refrain from indulging in a number of foods known to affect platelet activity, including chocolate. But they could not break their habit. Professor Diane Becker said, what these chocolate offenders taught us is that the chemical in cocoa beans has a biochemical effect similar to aspirin in reducing platelet clumping, or platelet, which can be fatal if a clot forms and blocks a blood vessel, causing a heart attack. And you'll be squealing.
I'm dying over here.
Researchers have known for nearly two decades that dark chocolate can lower blood pressure and has got other beneficial effects on blood flow. I'm going to go out and get me some dark chocolate right now. The latest findings, which will be presented at the American Heart Association's annual scientific sessions in Chicago, identified the effect of normal everyday doses of chocolate found in ordinary foods. What does that mean? Normal everyday doses of chocolate found in ordinary foods like what?
I give up.
Pudding?
I want a list.
Jell-O pudding?
My coffee every morning?
Eating a little bit of chocolate or having a drink of hot cocoa, see, there you go, as part of a regular diet is probably good for personal health so long as people don't eat too much of it, and too much of the kind with lots of butter and sugar, Professor Becker said. Wow. How do you like that?
So the bottom line is it's good for
Becker.
You? It's good for you. Eat lots of it. Eat lots of cocoa.
Anyway, moving along. Oh, we got some bad news, although you have no idea who she was, which shows you how out of touch you are.
That's right.
I'm the one that's supposed to be out of touch. I'm looking at that shirtless series of pictures of Brady Quinn, and I'm thinking I'd like to be in touch with that. But anyway, that's what happens when you get to be a horny old fag, man. You look at something like that, and you say, wow, look at that. And you people, some of you people think there's a God? Ho, 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 ho. I look in the mirror and I see me sitting here in my boxer shorts with this big gut hanging out like grotesque. And then I look at that picture and I think, there's a God created both of us? I don't think so, you know? Anyway, Athalie Range, whose fight against decaying segregated schools launched a historic political career that took her to City Hall, Tallahassee, and Washington, died last night of cancer, her family said. She was 91.
Who?
Athalie Range. She was a great local black lady activist. Range went from cleaning railroad cars in segregated Miami to advising the White House and scores of state and local power brokers. In the 1960s, she became the first African-American to serve on the Miami City Commission. Next decade saw her become the first black and woman in Florida history to serve in a high-ranking state government post as director of the Department of Community Affairs. And former President Jimmy Carter appointed her to serve on the National Railroad Passenger Corporation. A power broker herself, Range launched the careers of today's leaders, including former U.S. Representative Carrie Meek. She knew more about politics than anyone I know, Meek said last night. She taught me humility first and foremost. She taught me to go out and talk with little people in the community who no one else thought about. She took me to places in the community where other people didn't go. Everyone from U.S. presidents down courted Range's favor. They knew she could bring in the vote when it counted in a close election. She helped Metro Rail become reality. Well, nobody's perfect. And another close referendum, she led the fight to defeat a proposed property tax rollback. Remember that?
Nope.
Yeah, you do. And I was given all the credit from that goofball that used to do the traffic or Dave goofball. Even in her later, you know, that Joey G call was really funny for about 10 seconds. Even in her later years, she continued to mentor up and coming political aspirants like the late Art Teal and former County Commissioner Barbara Carey Shuler. She did so many things to improve the quality of life, you can't point to one thing, Carrie Shuler said. She took us into the 21st century. This tall, visibly frail, and with a barely audible voice, Range campaigned for Audrey Edmondson during the race to retain her seat on the Dade County Commission. She also advised Michelle Spence Jones, a current Miami City Commissioner. It goes on and on. A great life. And it was a great lady. And she's dead. She was 91, though, and that's certainly old enough. Unless you're 90 and a half, you know. I guess my mother figured 91 wasn't old enough. I kept trying to tell her 90 was old enough. 707, well, we got to do yesterday's poll. 1,892 votes. That is impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Of course, we had over 1,600 during the show, but that was pretty heavy duty. Who's the biggest phony of them all? No contest. 1,892 was the total, and Rush Limbaugh had almost 40% of them, 749 for pill popping, phony baloney, fat ass Rush. Reverend Ted Haggard had 281. He just wanted to massage it.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Reilly, 204. Dr. Phil was right on Bill's ass all the way through. They were neck and neck, nose to nose, ass to ass, 193 for the unctuous, phony baloney Dr. Phil. Oprah had 104. I'm glad to see she broke the century mark, that untalented, phony bitch. Fat-ass Governor Jeb Bush, 96. One good thing about this show is we don't believe in calling people names, you know?
Like what?
Jesse Jackson, 66, like fat-ass governor. I hate this poll. Only 51, a mere 2.6% out of nearly 1,900 votes. That is a real feather in my crap. Miss Mark Foley, she had 48.
Yay.
Dog the Bounty Hunter, 47, right on Mark's ass. Jew Lieberman had 34, and Nancy Grace, Fran, had only 19. That's really surprising, I guess. Either this audience just figures she's small potatoes and they don't care about her, or they like her a lot. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that.
She's small potatoes.
Yeah.
Nobody watches Court TV.
She's like
TV.
Frankie Pentangeli. She's small potatoes.
Court TV is for, like, women.
Which religious group is most... She's not on just on Court TV. She's on Headline News now.
Yeah.
She's everywhere. She's like a gigantic malignant tumor. Mm-hmm. It's all over your cable and all over your antenna. It's all over the place. Well, there's Headline News.
Website. What's in a smile? Could it be lifelong happiness? And one groundbreaking...
You know, she's very nice looking, that chick there, but she has no business. She's like, I can already tell. In 10 seconds, I can tell she's like one step away from Katie Couric with a slightly darker complexion. Katie, you're out of your league, honey. You're way out of your league. You're in the wrong profession now, sweetheart. You're a newsreader like I'm a freaking professional athlete.
Shaking like a leaf.
Like I'm a college quarterback. See, there you go with that Brady Quinn crap again. If Josh wouldn't have started talking about Brady Quinn. Anyway, Josh didn't watch Match Point, which we're pretty PO'd at him about that. Even his Russian girlfriend has seen that.
And she ruined it.
And she's starting to try to ruin it for Josh.
All but
we won't tell
it.
You that what's-her-name dies in the end. Well, we didn't say which one. Well, actually, there are two people die. 787 votes on today's poll. Which religious group is most malignant? And, of course, some of the people in the audience already know. They're saying, this is a repeat, Neil. You've done this before. Well, you know what? Too bad. Your mama. Your mama sews socks in hell. Okay? Too bad.
Okay.
We reserve the right. Since they want these damn polls, didn't they just tell us a couple days ago they want the polls, they like them, nothing's wrong with them, keep them going? Well, that's, we didn't say we're going to come up with a new one every stinking day.
Right. They said they were fine. They said
that's they said they're just fine, and I think this one's fine, too. And we're going to have over 1,000 votes by the time we get out of here at 2 o'clock, by the time I get in that cab and head for Woodbine on Woodbine Wednesday, and George heads for his drug dealer on the corner there. 787 on the poll so far today. Which religious group is the most malignant? Born-again Christians, 392. They blow away the Muslims. See, a lot of people think it's the other way around. Born-again Christians, 392. Muslims, 201. Scientologists are doing surprisingly well. They're a doozy. They got 67. I hate this poll. 47, 5.8%. Malcontents. Crybabies. Wasn't that the Johnny Depp movie, Crybabies?
Yeah, it was. It was brutal.
We had that stupid-ass spit curl. Horrendous. Looked like a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Catholics, 43, and Orthodox Jews, 41, out of 799. Oh, we're on the verge of 800. I bet if I refresh it, it'll be over 800 vote. And it is, 803. And Orthodox Jews are in last place, as usual. What are they doing at the Wailing Wall?
Wailing.
That's it. They're wailing, and they're throwing rocks at the women, baby. They're acting as far business as they can. Remember that movie, As Far Business As They Want to Be?
No.
That was a song by Luther Campbell. 12 minutes after 10, look at that lineup. We got the Mad Dog at 2, the Power Hour with Hank and the Mad Dog together, 4 to 5. Actually, that's from the QAM showers. 5 to 7, it's the Humper solo, and then at we haven't got no game tonight. Oh, that's bad, because when we have no game to fill in that time at night, we put some real swill on here. We got Hurricane Hotline at Gameworks in the Shops at Sunset Place from 7 to 9. College Tailgate presented by the FedEx Orange Bowl, 9 to 10. And then Craig Mish is in for Eddie K tonight, 10 to 2. What the hell's that all about? Eddie K taking a night off? Well, who the hell does he think he is? Who the hell is he? Oh, he's on his way to Vegas. Because I see tomorrow Eddie K's on from Vegas. Boy, turning Eddie K loose in Vegas is like turning a little kid loose in a candy shop. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like turning a horny teenager loose in Amsterdam. 10:13 at 560 WQAM.
Neil, God.
Let's all rise for the new Speaker of the House, Geldy Pelosi.
Thank you. Now, for our first order of business, I say we ain't going to impeach nobody because we don't have those kind of balls.
Now, see here. Here.
Now, Benny, you's got something to say about doing some legislating over here. Stand up and spill it.
I do, Mrs. Speaker.
Who the hell are you?
Why, I'll have you know, I am none other than Mo Howard and David, representing a precinct of 13 of prestigious Indy Town in Florida.
Yeah, so?
I propose we remove
the... Put that chicken leg down.
Huh?
I said put that chicken leg down and put your shoes back on. What do you think this is here?
But I was just getting to the watermelon.
Were you about to say something about removing the National Guard from Iraq?
No, no. There ain't no National Guard there. I keep trying to tell everybody that.
Then what do you want?
I propose we remove the word God from our Pledge of Allegiance and replace it with the word Doy.
One nation under Doy?
Absolutely. Doy. And a Jeep Liberty for all.
Doy?
Doy, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
10:18 at 560 WQM. And by the way, Joey G, who was that last caller there on the morning show on Kenny and Bo.
Yeah.
If the Jets are so great, if the pizza's so great, if everything else and the people are so great, if New York is so great, and this is the same thing we want to say to all the other malcontent New Yorkers who are always bitching and moaning and kvetching, why don't you go back to New York? Doesn't that sound like a capital idea?
Ain't that the standard line? Like, why are you here whining about it? New York's
That's
still
right.
there.
See, I could be in South Florida whining about it, but I'm not. I'm not in South Florida at all, so I'm not going to complain about
it. If you hate it down here, why don't you go to Canada or something?
Exactly. That sounds like a hell of a good idea. 828 votes on the poll today, and the Orthodox Jews are still holding up the rear. We got some exciting news in town today, baby. Forget about New York. This is a, you know, it goes to show you, though, how far behind the state of Florida is, how in the Stone Age it is. It's always the same, because a bunch of drooling, Bible-thumping rednecks basically run that state. That's the problem with Florida. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful places and the palm trees and the ocean and, you know, all of these things. But there's a lot of old, crusty, nasty, and especially up, you know, in the rest of the state. South Florida is like a bastion of progressive thinking, you know, compared to the rest of the state. State's first Las Vegas-style slot machines start running in Broward today. How do you like that?
Broward! All right.
Moments at the way this is written in the Sun Sentinel, it's amusing. You know, it's hysterical. Like something revolutionary. Like the first automobile is going to be on a dirt road in Dade County today. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. Like something like that. Revolutionary. Not. Silly. Moments after noon today, someone will press a button and may change the face of gambling in Florida. Will change. They're going to change the face. I wish I could do that. By the way, if you Google Brady Quinn naked, you'll find some interesting things, too. What got me into all of that? Okay, I'm just sitting here minding my own business, and right away you start with
that. What kind of a question is that?
What
got you into all of that?
Being an old fag.
Oh, I was going to say.
It's just a rhetorical question.
Okay.
You are so defensive for crying out
loud.
You
should have seen the look on both Josh and mine's faces. Like, what got you
I don't
want to
see the look on either one of your faces. I'd rather see the look on Brady's face. Hey, Brady. The renovated Gulfstream Park Racing and Casino will open its doors at noon today with the state's first Las Vegas-style slot machines.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Hope you find a good machine, man.
I want to go over there at noon to try it out.
You better cut the crap right now. You are not going to be going over there. In addition to which, see, this is the good thing for you guys, like I told you before the show, because the Hallandale Beach Racetrack Casino received the state's final approval yesterday to open with 516 traditional slots. Well, that's a fraction of what, you know... I mean, Pompano is going to have 1,500, and I think Gulfstream is going to have the same. That's the limit, I believe, thanks to your fat-ass governor. But they're opening with just 516 slot machines, man. You're never going to get no machine, man. The opening comes before Gulfstream Park even kicked off its ad campaign promoting its new venture. Park officials anticipate that word-of-mouth press coverage, like on this show with all of our degenerate gamblers out there, and the machine's powerful lure will translate into a crowd today. The machine's powerful lure, like there's something intrinsically evil about a slot machine, Mon. If it's a cold, dead machine, it's evil. Let me give you a little bit of advice, okay, all you plungers out there who are like novices with the slot machines. Don't sit there feeding a dead machine for hours on end. I learned that a long time ago, the hard way, the expensive way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit there and feed a dead machine, Mon. Why not open today, said Paul McCucci, the park's president, Coochie Coochie Coo. That's what I was thinking when I saw those naked pictures there, Coochie Coo. Thousands of people have been calling us, wanting to come to the new Gulfstream. We thought there was definitely a demand. We're happy to be open. And we're ecstatic that they are open, although I wish it was starting at Pompano Park, but they will early next year. Slots drawing power was on display yesterday in Pennsylvania as that state's first slot parlors open. Hundreds of gamblers, mostly senior citizens, oy vey, waited hours in a foggy drizzle to start plunking in money. They're going to lose their Social Security checks, too bad. Gamblers were sitting before most of the casino's 1,100 slots within 10 minutes of Mohegan Sun at Pocono Downs unlocking its doors. At Pocono Downs Racetrack. Makes me want to play that Jewish Poconos bit, which I will. Gulfstream Park, and by the way, I've got all these, I've just got a backlog here. I got all kinds, I got like about 5 discs with all kinds of stuff. So maybe I'll just play a lot of bits today while you guys are plunging, trying to find a good machine. Because it is Woodbine Wednesday. Sure, if I find a good machine, man. Gulfstream Park is the first of Broward County's 4 paramutuals to open its slots room. Mardi Gras Racetrack and Casino, which used to be Hollywood Greyhound Track, hopes to open next month. It's been more than 2 years, 2 long, excruciating freaking years. There's Carl Levin again with those stupid bifocals down to the tip of his nose. It's been more than 2 years since a statewide referendum allowed Broward voters to decide to have traditional slots at Gulfstream Park, Mardi Gras, Pompano Park Harness Track, and Dania High Line. Half of every dollar generated by the slots will go to Florida schools, a projected $209 million once each of the pari-mutuels has the maximum number of slots allowed by state law. 1,500 machines, man. The slot machines are clad. Now, you guys ought to go over there just to take a look and see what they got, just so you can report to us.
Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
All right, I'll be out of here at like
an hour and 36 minutes. You can be there right at noon. You'll never get close to a
machine.
I'll
do a call-in. I'll tell you if I win.
You'll never get even close. Yeah, let's have our roving reporter out there. Let's get one of our, like, Orlando.
Rock solid.
Yeah, he's a real big shot. Dot the I. The slot machines are Class 3 gambling devices like those found in Vegas and Atlantic City. The Seminole Tribe currently has got Class 2 slots, less lucrative bingo-style machines, which I still don't understand. I don't want to understand. And at 7 Florida casinos, but they're pushing to get the Class 3 machines, too, as you can well understand. Gulfstream Park's casino will be open from noon to midnight today. On Thursday, it'll be only open from noon to 6 p.m. so employees can prepare for an 8 p.m. invitation-only gala. An invitation-only gala. The casino's regular hours will be noon to midnight from Sunday through Thursday and 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. Fridays and Saturdays. What? Noon to midnight from Sunday through Thursday and 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. Fridays and Saturdays. Ask me when Woodbine closes. What time
when
they close?
When does Woodbine close?
Never. Never. If you're in the mood to plunge, 24-7, baby, every day of your life. 24-7. On Christmas, on Boxing Day, on Tisha B'Av, on Simchas Torah, on you name it. They're open. They're ready to give you a good time. Actually, the last couple of months I've been doing pretty well, which don't delude yourself thinking that anybody's going to do pretty well. It's just a streak, you know what I'm saying? You go through those lucky streaks for a little while, and then, of course, you lose your ass. But nevertheless, go over there and have a good time. Like they say at New York OTB, bet with your head, not over it. Isn't that a cute saying?
That's
bet
cute.
With your head, not over it. In other words, what that translates to is bring us all your money and go home.
But don't mortgage the house, because then you won't come back.
Bring us all your money, drop it off in a bag, and just go. You know. So I'm curious. Maybe we'll get somebody will fax in some reports later on.
Maybe the last half of the show. In.
Noon today, baby. Slot machines. Those one-armed bandits. And I bet your fat-ass governor's probably got wild diarrhea just thinking about it. Oh, what do we do now? Oh, my God. And, of course, the people, the jackasses at the Herald and the Sun Sentinel. Especially the Herald. 850 votes. And, of course, the lottery's a really good investment. Oh, man. You know, at least with the slots, I'll say this. At least you get a little bit of entertainment. You know, you get a little bit of fun, some action.
A little bit of a light show.
What's the fun with a lottery? I mean, unless, you know, you win something, which you're not going to. Well, what's the fun?
Well, you can scratch it.
Yeah, scratch this.
No.
859 votes. Oh, there's Brady Quinn naked. I'll try scratching that.
Scratch and sniff.
Which religious group is the most malignant? Born-again Christians, 419. Muslims, 219. Boy, it's not even close. See, all them Islamo-fascists that they're always talking about, it's the born-again Christian fascists. Right. They're the ones we need to be very concerned about. Scientologist, 74. I hate this poll, 57, 6.6%. Too bad. Probably the God Squad. A bunch of Getskis. Catholics, only 47. I guess there never was any Crusades or any four. I hate this poll, 57, 6.6%. Too bad. Probably the God Squad. A bunch of Getskis. Catholics, only 47. I guess there never was any Crusades or any Inquisition or any child molesting priests, things like that. And Orthodox Jews, only 43. They're small potatoes because there's, like, so few of them, you know? But I'll tell you one thing. For a very small group like that, they sure can be real far-bissin.
The biggest names, as the best say. Talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
God, your breasts are beautiful.
Hey, Mom and Dad, give your kids the hottest action figure of the year. Gitmo Joe and the Torture Team.
Go, Joe!
Push Gitmo Joe's back and hear him bark out orders.
Tell us where Osama is. Where are the WMDs? Connect the wire to Ahmed's genitals.
That's right. Gitmo Joe talks, and he'll get the terrorist talking with cool accessories like the waterboard. And the hand crank generator.
Go, Joe!
Collect all the members of Gitmo Joe's torture team, including Lindy the Leash Girl with Lifelight Cigarettes.
Get naked and get on all fours!
And Gitmo Joe's faithful companion, Shotzi the Attack Dog.
Go, Joe!
So get your kids Gitmo Joe today.
Gitmo Joe may be in violation of the Geneva Convention. Parents should supervise all torture sessions. Batteries not included.
Go, Joe! Yay!
I have a feeling there's a lot of people in this radio station who would like to get Mo. But nevertheless. 10:30, do a QAM. Here's something we talked about weeks ago, thanks to the Inquirer, thanks to the fact that I'm on top of all this crap. In a new TV interview and book, O.J. Simpson discusses how he would have committed the slayings of his ex-wife and her friend if I did it.
Hypothetically speaking,
right.
Of course.
Of course. The two-part TV interview titled O.J. Simpson, If I Did It, Here's How It Happened, will air November 27th and November 29th on Fox. The TV network said yesterday on Fox, a good place for it. The home of everything fake. If I did it, my ass. O.J. Simpson, in his own words, tells for the first time how he would have committed the murders if he were the one responsible for the crime. Have you ever in your life heard of anything so ludicrous, so asinine, so idiotic, so just stupid?
Not lately.
The network said. In the two-part event, Simpson describes how he would have carried out the murders. He has vehemently denied committing for over a decade. You are so full of it, you miserable, nasty, murdering piece of turd, you. You phony baloney, drug-doing, knife-wielding slimeball. I would have said S-bag. We can't say that. We'll get joist if we say S-bag. We can say scum. We can say wee-biz-bag. This is an interview that no one thought would ever happen. It's the definitive last chapter in the trial of the century. Mike Darnell, executive vice president of alternative programming for Fox, said in a statement, the interview conducted with book publisher Judith Regan will air just days before Simpson's new book, If I Did, goes on sale November 30th.
About 30, man.
I wouldn't buy that if you paid me by the page to read it. Even Miss Foley wouldn't touch a page of it. The book hypothetically describes how the murders would have been committed, the network said. Right. The book is published by Regan Books, an imprint of HarperCollins Publishers. Simpson, who now lives in Kendall, of course, as we all know. What a sad, sad situation that all the slime eventually, filters down the Hershey Highway and winds up just trickling its way down the Florida Peninsula all the way to South Florida. Isn't that just amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Andrew Cunanan, another murderer. In fact, let's stick O.J.'s ass in that houseboat and see if we can, snuff his ass out.
This is the pillow where the blood with his head.
Simpson, who now lives in Kendall, was acquitted in the criminal trial. We know that. He was later found liable in 97 in the wrongful death lawsuit filed by the Goldmans, who haven't got a dime from him, by the way. Messages left with Simpson and his attorney, Yale Yenta Galanta, were not returned last night. So how do you like that? So the book is coming out the 30th, which is, tomorrow's 16th, 2 weeks from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I won't be on. Neither will George, and Josh has got the day off, too, which one thing about Josh, he just says, I'm not going to be here that day. I like that. I like the attitude. Of course, when you get the pink slip in your next paycheck, there will probably be a good reason for it, but nevertheless.
Well, he learned that here.
What?
He learned that here from everybody else.
What?
I'm not going to be there that day.
Feels like
sure.
It.
Oh, management does it. Sales people, no everyone on the air. That. Sure.
In fact, I think I'm taking off a few days, just for the hell of it. Not without pay, just a few days here and there, because I need a lot more time off. So I can go find me a good machine, man. Or maybe I can just go to South Bend and do the deep knee bends in South Bend, see if I can find Brady Quinn. Maybe he needs some companionship, you think? Not. See, isn't that the way we all are? That's the way we all are. Oh, well, somebody, whoever it is that we lust for, they definitely need me. They need you like they need a hole in the head. As the Finnish say, they need you like a Lochenkopf. 890 votes, 89 WLS. Boy, I bet you got some of those jingles there. How come I don't have all those jingles that I should have?
I don't know. What do I have here?
You better
tell
Chicken Neck. He better. I got this.
WABC.
I got that.
Yeah, I have that too. I have the same thing you got.
No, you don't. You got WLS jingles. They're on a cart somewhere.
I do.
Don't look for them. Oh, sure. I think, or at least we used to have them, unless somebody ran off with them.
Have a wonderful weekend on WIOD, Miami.
WIOD? Oh, I hate that station.
Amen. Now, who was that? Was that Don Geronimo who was saying that?
Don and Mike Blow.
Oh, yeah, from the famous Don and Mike, the much despised Don and Mike.
Don Geronimo.
890 votes on the poll. We'll have that 1,000 easy and two shakes of a lamb's tail. Why do I keep saying that lately? You know when I started saying that?
When?
When we were talking about shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy, and you found that grotesque. And don't you dare play it again by Dinah Shore.
Okay.
Shoe fly pie. Naomi Campbell, trial adjourned until January 16th for plea the deal talk.
The best music, WLS. Oh! The best music.
Bravo Lasseter worked at WLS when they went to talk.
Yeah.
It's one thing about ABC, man. I can't imagine why they went in the toilet. WABC, which was one of the great... Of course, music on AM, it was all done at that point. They had to do something. So they went right-wing talk on WABC. And WLS in Chicago, which was one of the really classic, one of the great, great, great radio stations in the history of the radio business, also went to talk.
Your Uncle Lara and little Tommy... Lightning has almost struck twice in Lake Forest. I remember you reporting about the little poodle that weaved its way through the traffic in Lake Forest only to be splattered by a northwestern train. Well, a similar incident happened about a week ago involving a squirrel. My friend and I were on our way to get some lunch in Lake Forest last Saturday when we noticed a squirrel trying to weave its way across the traffic on Western Avenue. We were in a car about 20 yards away from the squirrel when it started to make its way across the street. The squirrel was probably not as mobile as it could have been because its mouth was really stuffed with nuts from the park.
Oh.
Luckily, though, the squirrel scampered across traffic, and my friend and I were relieved that he was safe. Suddenly, two girls who were on a bike ride appeared along the side of the street. They were really flying when the confused squirrel jumped into their path. The girl tried to avoid the squirrel, but he somehow hit the back tire of her bike and got caught up to the spokes.
Oh, dang.
The poor squirrel went around in the wheel several times before he got free and was flung on the grass. To our surprise, the dazed squirrel got to his feet and staggered away, apparently okay.
Oh, good.
The girl who was riding the bike was a little upset, but I'm sure not as much as the squirrel. Luckily, he didn't lose his life, but he might have lost his nuts. That's right.
There's a good message for all you kids out there. A lesson in life. You can't run real fast when you got a mouthful of nuts.
Have you
21
tried?
Before 11 at 560 WQM. We got Mad Dog at 2. We got the Dolphins are playing, is it Minnesota this week?
I have no idea.
Boy, you are so out of touch, man. You probably don't even know who your Buccaneers are going to lose to this week. And I'm a good one to talk. Who the hell are the Patriots playing this week? I almost forgot who the hell they are. Who are they playing?
Green Bay.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I think we can kick the crap out of them. Let's see. The Dolphins are playing. Oh, I don't have any idea who the Dolphins are playing. Oh, it's Minnesota, I believe.
Yes, Minnesota.
And, of course, Minnesota, the Patriots made mincemeat out of Minnesota, so probably the Dolphins will win that game, too, and then everybody's going, we love the Dolphins. They're going all the way, you know, they'll be doing the Super Bowl crap. It's the same all the time. People who keep deluding themselves. People who are fans of a franchise that's living in the distant past, you know? Kind of like the Toronto make-believe. Same thing. Living in the distant past. Back in the 60s, those four Stanley Cups. Way, way back then. Only remembered by old farts like me. But nevertheless. Hey, at least some franchises have a past, you know? As opposed to some that don't have any past and don't have any present. Even Josh's team won a Super Bowl once upon a time, which nobody believed they would. I picked him to win it. And everybody said, oh, no, you're a crazy man. No chance. And they did. Remember that?
Yeah, wasn't that fun long ago?
Neil wakes me up in the morning. In the morning. Neil wakes me up with a smile.
With a smile, yeah.
Drinking my coffee, munching on my donut.
With a little four on the dime.
Get ready to go to school with Neil. With a little four on the dime.
Driving to work in my road with a darling Neil. With a little four on my dial. Oh, really?
Neil, and sweetie.
Neil, God!
For men who would like to appear to have a package that strikes fear, then check out what we're selling here. It will enhance your manly gear. It's Wonder Jock.
Wonder Jock.
Wonder Jock.
Wonder Jock.
You want size, don't care for comfort. Modern copies bulging in front. Wonder Jock. Wonder Jock.
I wonder if Tom Brady and Brady Quinn both were Wonder Jocks. You know, just like both of you guys, and I'm sure, without even asking, I mean, you know, is there any doubt that if Scarlett Johansson left her panties behind, like in the studio there, that you'd both be having a hissy fit, being a brawl to see who could get to him first?
Well, for a little, to return them to her, of course.
Yeah, right. Return my ass.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Anyway, Andrew faxes and says, what's with the internet sound quality today? I'm not complaining because you guys sound fantastic.
All right.
How do you like that?
This is the second commentary. I also got an email from somebody saying, boy, I can hear you people just smacking
loud
your
and
lips
clear.
And
well,
popping your neck.
Well, talking so much about faggery and Brady Quinn naked. It's really clear, queer and clean. Usually it sounds like you're talking through a toilet paper tube. A toilet paper.
Cute.
And I am. Also, you should do a poll of what station was your best. For me, WIOD and WQM are very close. Thanks, Neil, says Andrew. And, of course, the obvious answer is Zeta 4, but that's beside the point. That was the best show. You don't think so?
I wasn't listening then. I heard, like, two episodes of that show, so.
Oh.
What do you want
well,
to say?
And, of course, then you hated the bird like poison, then you turned on him, so they, you know, you can't be
objective. Right. Keep spinning that.
Well, I would say this is the best show. I was too much of a, like that guy that we read the story about the other day, a pusey. In those days. Yeah, I just took too much crap. Put up with too much garbage, especially IOD.
I do know this. It was a very different show because that was more of a morning zoo kind of thing.
It was a morning zoo show, and we had Captain Dave and the
sure,
bird, and yours truly.
All kinds
and,
of people, and it was all over the place, and there was music and everything.
And we had jingles like that one I just played. You know, the great quality of those now. A little on the muddy side. We apologize for that. And then there's always...
Neil
Neil wakes me up in the morning.
Right, we got that, too. At any rate, this show used to be quite something else back in the day when we could really say something before they brought that bitch Joyce in there and, you know. So to try to compare, it's just, it's pointless, isn't it? It's like comparing matzo balls with kumquats. You just can't do it.
Right.
It's a different situation. We can't do things we used to. 924 votes. Oh, we're going to have close to 1,000 by the top of this hour. That is a real show of power. Yesterday, if you didn't listen yesterday, boy, it was a record-breaking, momentous day on our poll, which that doesn't mean anything. We'd much rather have you read the bedtime stories. You might learn something. Wouldn't we, Josh?
Oh, yeah.
They're off to a good start today, and that's because somebody got the stories up there. In fact, we already got 275 reads on the most read story, and all of yesterday we had 286 on the Cheney story. That's bad. Monday and Tuesday this week off to a really weak start on the bedtime stories. That makes us wonder, what the hell is going on out there, you know? Remember that scene in Network?
He wants to know what the F is going on, Howard.
When Howard Beeler, like, whispered on the, yeah. At any rate, 928 votes on the poll. Let's get that to 1,000. We had over 1,600 votes during the show yesterday. I believe the first time in the modern era. Maybe since Alien days. I don't remember that far back. Do you?
No.
Although I could go to the history page on there, which Eric is very apologetic about. But I appreciate it very much, Eric, because if I'm really stuck for a poll, like for today, for example, like this piece of crap, I mean, this great poll we got on today, I just go back and way, way back and say, oh, yeah, we haven't done that in about 4 years. And this audience, they got like their memory from 1 minute to the next, they can't remember, you know, and I don't blame them. Speaking of the radio business and how it used to be, and this was this, and, you know, you can't live in the past, baby. Like the Dolphins and the Maple Leafs and all these other sports teams, you can't live in the past. What are you doing for us now? And I would suggest the same for the Patriots, too, by the way. Can't live in the past. Boy, that was a real stinko on Sunday. That was bad. And then to have to hear that jackass that they kept on. Yeah, I know it was only about a two-minute phone call. It seemed like about 2 hours that Joey G or whatever his name was. You heard that, I'm sure, at the end of the show.
Yeah, that setup call, that fake call there.
Oh, was that a fake call?
Sounded like it to me, but what do I know?
Now, wait, see, there you go again.
What?
You are such a backstabber, I can't believe it.
What
you do
backstabber?
Talk behind people's back. Pat, your good buddy Kenny that you were talking about, what a good guy he is and how much you like him, and you were giving counseling on how they're going to destroy his show and ruin his life.
Right.
And they're guaranteed to set all these roadblocks in a way to make sure that he fails, which he will. But nevertheless, and now you're ripping him, like suggesting it was a setup call.
It's what it sounded like to me.
Well, it was just went on forever. He just kept saying the same thing over and over again. Although I'm glad that they found it was extremely funny. The auction for Clear Channel Communications, the largest U.S. radio station chain, was down to the wire last night. I'm going to keep my eye on this. In fact, I better check with Inside Radio and Outside Radio and R&R and P&P and whatever. As one private equity group pulled out of the race shortly before the company's board met to decide on its fate. There's nothing worse, boy, than pulling out just before the decision's made. Before the momentous moment, they pulled out. Investment firms Providence Equity Partners, Blackstone Group, and Kohlberg Kravis Roberts appeared to be the frontrunners to strike a deal with Clear Channel and its founding family, the Mays family, in a buyout worth at least $26 billion, including debt. But there was still a chance that a consortium composed of Bain Capital and Thomas H. Lee Partners might emerge on top, according to people familiar with the matter. That group previously included Texas Pacific Group. You know, actually, this might be old news. They might have already come up with, let's see, this is 4:40 this morning from MSNBC. They might have finalized a deal. I don't know. Do you know?
Hmm?
You think it's going to change anything? Obviously not. Texas Pacific declined to comment on the reasons for its withdrawal. They dropped out just ahead of Monday's deadline for bids. The buyers of Clear Channel expected to pay about $18 billion or close to $36 a share for the company and agreed to take on a further $8 billion in debt. The equity portion of the transaction could be worth as much as $5 billion, one of the largest ever, people close to the talk said. To help finance the deal, the buyers have arranged financing packages worth about $21 billion from a number of investment banks, they added, speaking of a Brady Quinn's package. Since it was founded in the 1970s by Lowry Mays, the unctuous chairman, Clear Channel has emerged as one of the most powerful forces and one of the most evil forces in U.S. media industry history. Evil. Evil being the operative word. Evil. Destroyers of radio stations that used to be great. Destroyers of careers, lives, listeners' lives, whatever. It owns over 1,200 radio stations which reach 110 million listeners each week, which explains a lot about the mental state of Americans. The Mays family, which still runs the company through Mark Mays, the chief executive, and Randall Mays, the chief financial officer, the CFO, owns a 7% stake in the group and stands to reap a payout worth about $1 billion in a buyout. $1 billion for these losers. How do you like that? For these goyim. If agreed this week, a deal would cap an extraordinarily short period of public negotiations over the sale. Clear Channel formally launched the auction less than a month ago. Their shares closed down 0.8% to $34.11 on yesterday. 0.8. Doesn't that sound familiar, that 0.8?
No.
That's an exaggeration. It was a 0.9, not a 0.8, although it could be headed in that direction, especially if I have a lot more of that Drew Rosenhaus, Steinberg. Let's get Seth Greenberg his own show.
Oh!
All of Hank's other buddies on there. Come on. How about the Beano show? How about the Joe Zagacki show? That worked out real well. Remember when they used to do middays? Was it Chris Moron and Joe Zagacki?
And I think the Boots. I know it was Chris Moore. I don't remember who else was on there with him.
Oh, my God. I think Joe Zagacki was on some days.
Joe Zagacki sucks, okay?
Okay.
At any rate, they sure had some numbers back in those days. Microscopic. Teeny weeny. 10:55 at 560 WQM. Mad Dog at 2. The Power Hour between 4 and 5. We got no game. We got the Panthers and the Canadians tomorrow night. Right there in Sunrise. There's a lot of frogs will be there at the game. I just warned you that ahead of time. If you have an aversion to French Canadians like I do, you probably want to stay home and watch that on TV. Although I shouldn't say that. You really need to be there because, boy, that seriously, they announced 12,000 for the Capital game Monday night, which they lost 4-1. And if there were 5,000, 6,000 people there, that was a lot. I watched quite a bit of that on TV, and it was like you could have picked your own section in the arena and gone bowling in there, you know? And you know what Wayne said? He said, I'm not going to play in that thing because I don't want you guys to say one thing. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
That whole long, bitchy, all these bitchy billionaires.
I'm going to tell you something right now, and you can mark it down.
Mark this.
If Broward County would change their mind and decide they wanted to build this facility, mm-hmm. I will not play here.
Right.
Because I will not have you guys looking at me for the next 10 years saying, here's a guy that said one thing and went out and did something
else. I don't want to look at you for the next 10 minutes, okay? You make me want to gag and puke my guts out, Wayne. How's that? You pockmarked bullying. He's a human cue ball, is what he is. With a lot of money. That's a good poll we ought to take. What very wealthy individual do you hate like poison the most? Look at all the people on there.
Good
Bill
idea,
Gates
Bill Gates.
George Steinbrenner and Donald Trump. Oh, man.
Ooh.
He gives me the willies. Speaking of the Mays family.
This is the Neil Rogers Show. This is your brain. Any questions?
Goodbye, Ed Bradley. We'll miss you badly. You died along the line of journalists who are a dying breed, even though you couldn't dance or sing. You knew how to report and speak, unlike the new news bimbos. That's not to mention Katie Couric, who wouldn't know the news if you crammed the news up her tube.
Rectum.
We're stuck with bobblehead boobs whose idea of the news is nonsense, pablum, and puke. You see moonbeams. Not every TV viewer is as dumb as you. The CBS.
11:01 at 560 WQM. Happy Wednesday to you. November 15, old bean. What's the significance of that? I don't think there is any. Is there like some special day today? A week from Nora's Thanksgiving. And I'm thankful already for not having November 15, old bean. What's the significance of that? I don't think there is any. Is there like some special day today? A week from Nora's Thanksgiving. And I'm thankful already for not having to work that day. Oh, that's good news.
Yeah, it is.
Here's bad news. 3 U.S. soldiers and 3 U.S. Marines were killed during combat in Iraq, the military said today. One soldier assigned to the 1st Brigade, 1st Armored Division of these butchers, these murderers. Oh, by the way, thanks to Green Van Day for that nice book they sent along. The 9/11 conspiracy book, whatever the hell it's called. I'm already read parts of it. Fascinating.
Good.
Did you see it? Did you get a copy of it?
I didn't unwrap it.
He don't care about you.
No.
I beg your pardon?
I said, I did not unwrap your Christmas presents the way that
don't,
I do with
any
other
with
package that shows
okay.
up.
Mississippi's Trent Lott has won the number 2 position in GOP Senate leadership this morning. That's the old pom-pom waving cheerleader, Miss Trent Lott. MSNBC reports that Lott won by only one vote over Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander. Tonight, a confident, on Wednesday night, that's interesting because that's tonight. I think they mean on Tuesday night, a confident Lott told CNN he had enough votes to win. Last night, oh, these people are so silly. That's, who wrote this? I don't know, it's a raw story. It's like herding cats, you know, Lott said, like herding cats. I didn't know they herded cats, did you?
Well, if you step on them, it hurts them.
In 2002, Lott was, if you put them in a microwave on high cook for about 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
In 2002, Lott was forced to resign from his minority leader position after remarks he made at the late Senator Strom Thurmond's 100th birthday party. I want to say this about my state. When Strom Thurmond ran for president, we voted for him, Lott said in December 2002, and we're proud of it. And if the rest of the country had followed our lead, we wouldn't have had all these problems all over the years either, Lott said. Meaning, of course, with the dark folks. Racist pig. Thurmond ran for president as a Dixiecrat in 48 as a strong supporter of racial segregation. A real Yahoo redneck, Strom Thurmond. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that there's not enough troops in the Army to force the Southern people to break down segregation and admit the Negro race into our theaters, into our swimming pools, into our homes, into our churches, Thurmond said in one speech in 1948. The Negro race, N-I-G-R-A. With several teeth missing, of course. Bunch of crap. All these crackers, man, like they're fooling somebody. And like something really has changed in the South? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Probably they just had the lynchings after dark now, you know, when nobody can see them. A woman who claims she was kicked off an airplane because she was breastfeeding her baby. Well, there's sure a lot of hanky-spanky going on planes. Remember the story we had yesterday about that couple that wouldn't stop doing whatever they were doing on the plane?
Right. Except breastfeeding is wholesome, and nobody has the right to interfere with
breastfeeding.
Yeah, but
the problem is her son was 22 that she was breastfeeding.
Is that
That's just a joke. It's just a very bad joke.
What'd she look like?
I don't know. She's 27. She looks like Scarlett Johansson.
Mm.
I will say this. I want to clarify. I don't want to get carried away, because some of the pictures, he don't really look all that good facially, Brady Quinn. I don't really know what he looks like, because I never see him up close and personal. So I'll revise the comments I made before the last break, and I will say I would sniff his jockstrap, but only at halftime, not after the whole game was played.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, okay. At halftime, I mean, how sweaty? Obviously, you know what I'm saying. By the end of the game,
pretty sweaty.
Pretty gamey by all four quarters.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'd pay him four quarters just for a little.
Especially
anyway,
if it's a good gamey.
A woman who claims she was kicked off an airplane because she was breastfeeding her baby has filed a complaint against two airlines, her attorney said. Emily Gillette. I wonder if she looks sharp and feels sharp, and I wonder if she shaves with Gillette. Emily Gillette, 27, of Santa Fe, New Mexico, filed a complaint with the Vermont Human Rights Commission late last week against Delta Airlines and Freedom Airlines, said her attorney Elizabeth Bopel. Freedom was operating the Delta flight between Burlington and New York City. Freedom Airlines. Sounds like a puddle jumper to me, and I'm sure it is. Gillette said she was discreetly breastfeeding her 22-month-old daughter October 13, discreetly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As their flight prepared to leave Burlington International Airport, she said she was seated by the window in the next last row. Her husband was seated between her and the aisle, and no part of her breast was showing. A flight attendant tried to hand her a blanket and told her to cover up. Gillette said she declined, telling the flight attendant she had a legal right to breastfeed her baby. Another one of these militant bitches. Militant. In other
she
words, like,
does
no
have
sense
the legal
of,
right.
No sense of decency.
Listen,
just whipping that booby right out
if
there.
If she was
you know?
Standing in the aisle with both of them out, feeding the, like squirting the milk into the baby's mouth from a distance, she has the legal right to do that.
Moments later, a Delta ticket agent approached and sent the flight attendant and asked that the family be removed from the flight, Gillette said. She said she didn't want to make a scene and complied. It embarrassed me. That was my first reaction, which is a weird reaction for doing something so good for a child, Gillette said. A Freedom spokesman said Gillette was asked to leave the flight after she declined the blanket. A breastfeeding mother is perfectly acceptable on an aircraft, providing she's feeding the child in a discreet way that doesn't bother others, said Paul Skellen, spokesman for the Phoenix-based Freedom Airline. She was asked to use a blanket just to provide a little more discretion. She was given a blanket, and she refused to use it. That's all I know, he'd be saying. A complaint against two airlines was filed with the Vermont Human Rights Commission, although Executive Director Robert Apple said he was barred by state law from confirming the complaint. He said state law allows a mother to breastfeed in public. The Vermont Human Rights Commission investigates complaints and determines whether discrimination may have occurred. The parties to a complaint are given 6 months to reach a settlement. If none is reached, the commission then decides whether to go to court. A complainant can file a separate suit in state court anytime. Just a, you know, much ado about nothing. This is, you know, this should be your worst problem, okay? Both the people at the airlines and this bitch. This should be your worst problem. Just put the booby under the blanket and be a little discreet and stop being a flasher on an airplane, you silly-ass bitch.
Or how about everybody else mind their own business?
Yeah, that's right. Everybody else looks straight forward, straight ahead. Well, she was 27.
Last time I checked,
maybe she was
a
hot.
Boob has never hurt anyone.
Maybe she was hot and she had, like, extraordinarily supple boobies.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, there's Hank is on a CNN.
Want to get directly over to Chuck?
Well, she's all done. 956 votes, that's Barbara Starr. And, of course, George keeps making these grotesque comments just because Hank weighs 800 pounds now. Did you talk to him? Did you have a heart-to-heart with him?
I'm sure
just like the one you had with Kenny Walker about how they're trying to destroy the morning show by putting all these segments in there with Ira a Windbag and with Drew Rosenstein, Bergs, whatever.
I got my own problems.
Stan Bergstein. Robert Weitzel writes, oh, I like this. This is my kind of column, just like the one I had yesterday. That was a good column. about the religious, about the Getschkes. Robert Weitzel lives in Middleton, Wisconsin. His essays regularly appear in the Capital Times, Madison, Wisconsin, and he's been published in Free Thought Today and yada, yada. This isn't Smirking Chimp. Because the Bible Tells Me So is the title in that article. I'm an American atheist, he writes. I believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I do not believe in gods or in revealed texts. My belief in the tools of democracy is relevant on the public square. My disbelief in gods is not. On November 7th, the Family Research Institute of Wisconsin, whose mission is to forward Judeo-Christian principles and traditional values in Wisconsin, won a victory for their organization's interpretation of the Bible with the passing of the amendment to ban gay marriages and civil unions. According to a September 23rd Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article by Bill Glauber, the FRI claimed that the amendment had the support of 5,000 churches and 2 million congregants. While Fair Wisconsin, the group leading the fight against the amendment, claimed that the resolutions opposing the amendments had been passed by organizations representing 500,000 congregants. On October 19, a forum was held in Madison to debate the state's November 7 advisory referendum on establishing the death penalty for first-degree murder cases backed by DNA evidence. The Reverend Mike Mahack of Faith Baptist Church quoted Genesis and Romans in support of the death penalty. Bishop Roberto Morlino of the Diocese of Madison relied on the Pope's interpretation of the Bible to oppose the death penalty. While acknowledging that there were people of different faiths on either side of these issues, I can only assume there was a preponderance of Christians. So to them I ask, are you guys reading the same Bible? And if you are, where is the ultimate authority if such diametrically opposed opinions can be buttressed by the same text? This is not a rational debate. It's a Bible-quoting arms race, each side cherry-picking its way through a religious document that was arbitrarily cobbled together over several centuries from many different writers in diverse cultural milieus. Whoever ends up with the most fruit expects to win the day. The trouble is many of the cherries in the Bible are just plain rotten. In the early 19th century, abolitionists held a high moral ground by any objective, rational, non-biblical backward glance. However, Southern slave owners and the representatives in Congress won the theological argument hands down. As Reverend Richard Fuller said in 1845, what God sanctioned in the Old Testament and permitted in the New cannot be a sin. Slavery, as we now know, was a sin and a national disgrace, even if the Bible didn't tell us so. But if we learned anything in the intervening 160 years about Scripture and policy, former House Majority Leader Dick Armey once said, "The Bible is very clear on homosexuality. I abide by the instructions that are given me in the Bible." One can only speculate if Armey's understanding of Scripture was informed by the Reverend Ted Haggard's weekly televised pulpit pontifications. Will it take our country another 160 years to know that discriminating against a group of people because of their sexual orientation is a sin and a national disgrace, regardless of what the Bible tells us? My point is that the Bible or any religious text has no authority on the public square in a secular society whose guiding authority rests in the Constitution and Bill of Rights. Our democracy is based on a rational defense of the civil rights, civil liberties, and economic welfare of its citizens, not on the ambiguous and often contradictory approbations and proscriptions of religious texts. Democracy cannot serve two masters. This is not to say that an individual's political stance cannot be informed by his or her religious belief. It would be absurd to claim otherwise, but as a political argument, religious belief should go no further than the church door or your own pocket. On the public square, because the Bible tells me so, just doesn't cut it, or it shouldn't. On a recent book signing tour in Milwaukee, Jim Wallace, author of God Politics, Why the Right Gets It Wrong and the Left Doesn't Get It, met with local clergy who advocate for the poor. Wallace maintained that his goal of eliminating poverty is based on some 2,000 Bible verses stressing the importance of ministering to the poor. But should anyone need to consult the Bible to be assured of a moral or ethical imperative to help those who are mired in poverty? Isn't there enough evidence available to anyone whose gaze is unblinkered by ideology or religious belief? Keep in mind, Jesus did say that the poor would always be among us. Wasn't he telling us to chill on the poverty thing? He was telling us just to take a pill and take a chill. Isn't that what he's saying, old
yeah,
Jesus?
Yeah, a chill pill.
But it was Birkenstocks. 963 votes this hour. We'll go over 1,000 on the poll, and then we can like take a nice nap, a dirt nap. Some kind of a nice long nap. Wouldn't that be good?
Okay.
Josh, by the way, now I did watch American Dad last night, which I thought was cute, was good. I voted, I give it a 9.
It's a good show, but that one was particularly good.
Yeah, it was a...
gay.
That one. Of course, that's why George sent it to me, because he's, you know, sucking up Henry. Yeah,
fake.
That was good. But anyway, Josh did not watch Match Point.
No, but he doesn't know how it ends now.
He doesn't know how it ends.
No, not all of it.
No. Oh, well, that's not important, okay? That part of it is not, I mean, you know, if you couldn't figure that out along the way, you must be pretty slow.
And he should know, because we discussed it off the air, but Brian Cox, who we have discussed on the air, Josh and I, is in there, our favorite character actors.
Yeah.
One of.
And so Brian Cox, wasn't he in the Magnolia?
He might have been. He's in everything.
Wasn't he the cop?
I don't know. I'll have to check.
Or didn't he once play for the Dolphins, Brian Cox?
Oh, yeah. That one.
Yeah, that one. And, of course, somewhere in here, I don't think there's any of it that I can play.
It's all bleeped.
Is it bleeped?
Sure.
Hey, Brian, are you happy? I hate WLD again.
Yeah, that's all I'm playing to that. Now, I don't. I remember very well. Now, I don't like the bleep in there. It was one of your early bleeps where the vowels are in there, but the bleep
precision,
is like
precision.
Yeah,
bleep,
precision. Yeah, precision. My ass.
Yeah, but
968 votes on our poll today about which religion is the most malignant. Of course, they're all malignant. It's just a matter of degree. How about the Quakers? They aren't really too malignant, are they? Although, keep in mind, Nixon was a Quaker and a faker. Not a crook, though. Just a Quaker and a faker.
Neil Rogers.
And a mover and
faker. And
rooted for the Lakers.
Got any dental floss?
You fairy.
Hey, little Katie, what have you done? Hey, little Katie, Tom's a crazy one.
Yay.
Hey, little Katie, who give you away? John Travolta or Patrick Swayze? Hey, little Katie, Zenu, it's not too late to think again. You can back out of this cruise wedding. You're not too old to start again. Hey, little Katie, Scientologist. Hey, little Katie, your parents are pissed. Hey, little Katie, it's not too late to run. Don't be afraid of Maverick from Top Gun. Hey, little Katie, prenup. It's not too late to think again. You can back out of this cruise wedding. No, it's not too late to think again. You're not too old to stop.
11:19, boy, 41 minutes away from noon when the face of gambling is going to change. You can go online and there's a virtual tour video of Gulfstream Park and the new the whole plant, the track, and a casino. Don't tell me that's all they're going to show the casino. They had Double Diamond, Lucky Strike, whatever the hell it is. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, LSMFT, and
yeah.
Call for Philip Morris. And I'd walk a mile for a camel. Let's play some cigarette spots just to piss off the government. Oh, we better not. Oh, it looks really nice. Okay, whatever the hell I just saw in there. It wasn't very detailed. You know, I didn't see no Wheel of Fortune. If you don't have any Wheel of Fortune, you can count me out. Remember that song, Count Me In, by Gary Lewis and the Playboys? And please don't play it.
Okay.
Remember that on Liberty Records, but nevertheless, Count Me Out.
Yeah, I remember.
You get hooked on whatever game. I'm sure that, because I see the same faces all the time playing Wheel of Fortune, you know? And I'm sure that there are people who play like the Lucky Sevens and Double Diamond, Haywire, all this other stuff, you know? And the interesting thing about slots, which probably most people don't think about, and I'm sure neither one of you ever have thought because you're not like suckers like I am, and that is that all the numbers and symbols that they have on the wheel, they might as well be blank. You know what I mean?
That's a very good point, right.
The computer is spitting out dollar amount each spin.
Right.
And it doesn't make any difference if there actually are symbols on there that show you what you're getting, or if they were just blank and it showed you, hey, this time you got $200, you know.
That's a good point. It's just an illusion, a point of reference or something.
It's an illusion. Very good. It's an illusion, like an illusion of winning. Oh, here we got another little warning for you as another pubic service of your close friends at QM who don't want to get your ass in a ringer. You know, there's one thing I will say, though, before I read this.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing I cannot stand, it's a cheap drunk. It's a loud, obnoxious drunk. There's a guy, I don't want to go into it.
What if they don't have a lot of money for drinking and they're drunk?
Cannot stand I won't say cheap, sloppy drunk. Loud, sloppy, obnoxious. Anyway, getting back to this. DUI saturation, like Josh, for example, he's probably a sloppy drunk. Are you?
Can be.
No, he's all right.
I'm fine, though.
What do you mean he's all right? How do you know? You go out drinking with him?
I think I might have.
The Broward Sheriff's Office DUI Task Force will come. Well, if you've gone anywhere with him, you've gone out drinking with him because he's got, you know, he's got like a bottle in his pocket, in his sock.
He's got a flask taped to his inner thigh.
A flask on his ass. The BSO DUI Task Force will be conducting saturation patrols this Saturday, November 18, from approximately 8:30 in the p.m. till 5 in the morning on, areas of North Lauderdale, Oakland Park, and unincorporated Central Broward County. Impaired drivers will be identified and DUI laws will be actively enforced. This information published in compliance with a Supreme Court ruling mandating prior announcement of selective enforcement activities. That's this Saturday night from 8:30 until 5 a.m. Sunday morning. North Lauderdale, Oakland Park, unincorporated Central Broward County. Impaired drivers will be identified in DUI law. They'll come and take your ass away and the rest of you, too.
That's right. They've been doing this like every week.
Votes on the poll. We're almost to 1,000 now. By the bottom of the hour, we'll have 1,000. And then everybody will say, oh, now we can breathe easy. You'll get off our back. Environmental advocates sued the Bush administration yesterday for ignoring a 2004 congressional deadline to report to lawmakers and the public on the latest research on global warming. You go. Everybody sue their ass. Especially the families of all these dead people that are dying over there for no reason based on a pack of lies. It just, there's no point in getting excited about it. You know, I can't even speak.
Don't even.
Well, what's the point?
There isn't.
It's so obvious, you know. A 1990 federal law requires the government to produce a scientific report every 4 years on climate change and its effects on the environment, including land, water, air, plant and animal life, and human health. The Clinton administration issued the first report in October 2000, warning of severe effects on different regions, but the Bush administration hasn't filed any report and has indicated it won't do so. Environmentalists said in the suit filed in federal court in San Francisco, it's like all the other laws, you know, they just Bush makes it up as he goes along. Oh, that doesn't apply to us. Right. Instead, the administration's climate change science program says it'll issue 21 mini-reports on various aspects of the overall topic. The first report on temperature trends in the lower atmosphere was released in May. Others will be issued periodically through 2008, a spokesman said. Oh, speaking of spokesman, I thought Puttycat is going to get fired in Ottawa there, Brian Murray. Wouldn't that be bad? Let's get some no BM buttons going again for the Senator fans, both of them. The spokesman. At least he's consistent. Wherever he goes, he's a loser. The Bush administration has failed to comply with the law, said Attorney Julie Teal of the Center for Biological Diversity, which is a plaintiff in the lawsuit. I think the administration is afraid to release this information because it makes climate change real for people. I thought, Puttycat. She said the May report on low atmosphere temperatures is a technical document that would be hard for the average citizen or member of Congress to understand. A 14-page summary of the report on the agency's website, climatescience.gov, contains findings about temperature variations at different atmospheric levels, but doesn't discuss how those variations affect the environment. In other words, it doesn't really say a damn thing. The suit asked U.S. District Judge Sandra Brown Armstrong to set a new deadline for a comprehensive government report on global warming research. I wonder if Sandra Brown Armstrong is kin to George the Chief Armstrong of those great 60 Leaf teams, the captain, number 10. At any rate, so there you go. Once again, you know, they just it's all about big business and tax cuts for big business and all this other crap, and then they don't worry about it because they're going to be dead anyway. 993 votes on the poll. Any second now, we're going to go to that 1,000 mark, and then you'll hear like a big, like that. Just like when a slot machine pays you off at Gulfstream this afternoon. You realize we're only 35 minutes away from changing the face of gambling in South Florida, in the state of Florida?
It's going to bring the mafia.
Those one-armed bandits like that, yeah. All those hysterical editorials, man, in the newspapers, like everybody's going to lose their lunch money and everybody's going to go broke and the old farts are going to gamble away their Social Security money. Well, you know, too bad.
Only the ones that deserve to.
That's correct. Only the ones stupid enough to do it. Take whatever money you can afford to lose and assume you're going to lose it. Do never, ever go play
the slots
assuming you're going to win. Assume you're going to lose whatever you got in your pocket and then whatever credit cards you bring. Although they're not letting you have ATMs. How is that possible?
I'm sure they'll find a way.
How the hell do you get any money out?
They'll find a way.
Way to what? Oh, that's right. You go out to the parking lot, you get in your car, and you go down the street, and you find the Publix or whatever with an ATM, and then they come flying back, running back in and say, did you save my machine, man? Did you save my good machine? And he said, no, I just won $3,000 on it. Bastard.
He's a very handsome young man. Who can't see that?
Hey, Jim. Here's the budget report.
Jimmy.
What?
I like you. Do you like me?
Jim, what's wrong with you?
Jim suffers from Borat's disease. It strikes those who have seen the Borat movie and results in the uncontrollable urge to speak like Borat.
Jim, knock it off. We have a meeting with Elaine.
She's a prostitute.
No, she's the regional manager.
No one is immune. Borat's disease can strike anyone at any time.
Hi, Grandma.
Unfortunately, there is no cure for Borat's disease, but thankfully, symptoms will dissipate over time.
Sexy time?
Stop it. Please give generously to the Borat's Disease Foundation. Together, we can find a cure.
High five!
Sorry.
Under 31, nice. Me too. A little bit of caca, Stan. Well, there you go, talking about Stan Major again, just like the other day. 1,012 votes on the poll. UN Chief Cup of Kofi Annan demanded that world leaders give climate change the same priority as they did the wars and to curbing the spread of weapons of mass destruction. He demanded. Annan made the appeal as he launched a three-day get. Talk about a paper tiger, man. Unbelievable. Annan made the appeal as he launched a three-day gathering of environmental chiefs tasked with stepping up action against global warming. In his valedictory... Unbelievable. Annan made the appeal as he launched a three-day gathering of environmental chiefs tasked with stepping up action against global warming. In his valedictory speech to the annual... You know, I'm thinking that Al Gore might be the dark horse in 2008.
Okay.
You don't think?
Well, he won once already. He could do it again.
That's right. In his... Well, so did John... Climate change imperils agriculture through drought and coastal cities through rising sea levels, poses a health threat by spreading mosquito-borne disease, and could lead to billion-dollar weather calamities, said Annan. Cup of coffee, Annan. Climate change is also a threat to peace and security, he warned. Changing patterns of rainfall, for example, can heighten competition for resources, setting in motion potentially destabilizing tensions and migrations, especially in fragile states or volatile regions. The reason I hesitated, destabilizing is spelled with an S, like British. What is it? Ministers of their stand-ins at the 189 Nation meeting of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC,
what?
Are under pressure to spell out by Friday their commitments for deepening cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. That's what Joyce wants us to do on this show. Isn't that part of the deal that we got to do?
Yes.
Is cut down on greenhouse and other gas emissions. The spotlight is being placed on Brazil, China, and India, big population developing countries whose carbon pollution has surged in line with their economic growth. The European Union hopes these countries will signal they will join rich nations in making binding curbs in their emissions when negotiations start next year to reshape the UNFCCC's CC Kyoto Protocol after it expires in 2012. The U.S., meanwhile, which walked away from Kyoto in 2001, is being scrutinized, again with an S, for any gesture toward the pact in light of last week's U.S. elections in which the Democrats wrested control of Congress away from Bush's neocons, from the fascists. The U.S. by itself accounts for a quarter of the world's greenhouse gas output. Oh, boy, a lot of gas. Although its position as number one polluter could soon be overtaken by China, a major burner of coal. Did I say China? Greenhouse gases trap the sun's heat instead of letting it radiate out into space. That's like if you keep the gas inside your body and don't let it out. If you trap it inside, man, you're going to explode one of these days. That's why you got to, like, let it out. As a result, Earth's atmospheric temperature is rising, and many scientists are convinced this is already starting to affect the climate system. And speaking of that, what a segue. Oh, there's that unctuous John Warner from Virginia. Nice hair, John. Big, white-haired goofball. Old turd. A small centimeter, 16-inch tsunami hit northern Japan after an 8.1 magnitude earthquake shook the Russian-owned Kuril Islands on Wednesday today, according to Japan's meteorological agency. See how this ties right in there?
Mm-hmm.
It's a small tsunami, Mommy. Residents along Japan's Pacific coast were told to flee the tsunami after the quake. The warning was issued for eastern Hokkaido, Japan's northernmost island, and the U.S. National NOAA said. Remember NOAA, with or without the ark?
Mm-hmm.
Old drunk. NOAA was an old drunk.
Yes, he was.
And I'm sure glad that he got those dinosaurs fitted onto the ark. Or maybe they couldn't fit on the ark. That's why we don't have no more dinosaur. We got Barney, but that's all we got left. An earthquake of this size has the potential to generate a destructive tsunami that can strike coastlines in the region near the epicenter within minutes to hours, the NOAA said. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. Another bubble, I see. Another silly fairy tale. Japan's primary broadcasting source, NHK, said Japanese officials had expected waves of up to 6.5 feet in the less populated area of the island chain, while the coast of Japan may get a wave of up to 1 meter, 3 feet plus. About 30,000 people live in the Kuril Islands, which is about 1,100 kilometers or 660 miles north of mainland Japan. And it's got a bunch of Japanese names on here. You think I'm going to read them? No.
Come on, give it a shot.
No chance. Tsunami waves generated by earthquakes are often barely noticeable in the ocean, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, just like that horrible one we had, oh boy. We don't want to, no tsunami, Mommy. bad news. That's when God gets really pissed off, you know. Of course, a lot of innocent people die because God's got bad aim. He's always got bad aim.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a good idea to mess with the Lord, because when he gets pissed off, look out, man. My, look out now. Because God only knows who's going to be in the in the way. 1,024 votes on a poll today. It's another one of our extraordinarily scientific and anti-religion polls. I think we ought to take an anti-religion poll every day. Like, I got a good one. What do you think of a religious fanatic? And in the end, the only answer to the poll would be chum and dreard.
Okay.
In other words, he should only go to hell.
Yeah, you're going to put the meaning in parentheses?
No.
Translation?
Only for Jews. Which religious group is the... It's the, hey, listen, we got to have something, man, besides just the matzo balls. And although even Goyim love matzo balls. Do you know who loves to eat in delis? I told you this once before and didn't believe me. It's true, though. And that's because you don't have, it's not a similar kind of thing in South Florida. But like in Detroit, black folks love deli food.
Why wouldn't they?
That Lou's Finer Delicatessen in Detroit, which ain't there anymore. Remember I recommended that to Dick Burton and he went there and he said it was horrible.
Hmm.
That's maybe why I don't hear from him no more. But at any rate, we don't hear from Dick. Which religious group is the most malignant? 1,024 of you heathens voted. We got a heathen audience out there, and thank God for that, is what I say.
Oh!
1,026. Born-again Christians, 495. Almost half, 48.2% say you born-again Christians are the most malignant, the most dangerous, the most evildoers on the face of the planet, much more than the Muslims, who have about 294, only 26%. See? Not even close. Those Islamo-fascists, as the Bushmeister calls them. I wish somebody would explain to him what that's supposed to mean. I think he knows the fascist part. He looks in the mirror when he shaves. Scientologist, 87. It's just a big closet.
You fairy!
I hate this poll, 78, 7.6%. Catholics, 52. They're moving up a little bit. And Orthodox Jews, 50. Only 50. What is it in Spanish, 50?
Si.
Oh. In Italiano, 50. 50 banana. Oh, there we go with that guy again. Never saw him again, thank God. Oh, take your ethnic phoniness and just get lost already, will you please? So you speak a few words Italiano. Good. Go to Napoli with the schleppers and get out of my face. You silly person, you. 50 banana. Hey, maybe that's what you'll win at Gulfstream. 21 minutes. Oh, man. I feel a seismic shift, like that tsunami that's going on in Japan. I feel like something at noon, if you were to believe the Herald, and then, of course, all those anti-gambling people who, it turns out, are a bunch of hypocrites who got their own finger in it and want their own, they want it all for themselves. Oh, look at this Lipitor spot. They got have you seen this? They got a mannequin there. It looks like the guy from Pin.
No. Oh, there it
is. Have you heard from Leon?
Oh, right? That's Jarvik. Jarvik Jarvis, the artificial heart guy.
Oh, is it?
Uh-huh.
Well, he's on there hawking Lipitor, okay, so I'm not a big fan of his. It's one of those statin drugs,
man. He's got rent.
One of those statin drugs that all the doctors are peddling because your cholesterol's too high. Well, I got news for you, okay? I'm not going to say a thing. You do whatever you want, okay? I got a whole bunch of Pravacol. Cost me $400 in the other room. You think I'm taking any? You think I've taken even one?
No.
And I won't. I won't touch him. I wouldn't take him with your mouth.
Okay.
Which religious group is the most malignant? Born-again Christians, 496. Muslims, 264. Scientologists, 87. I hate this poll, 78. Catholics, 50. I just got through reading this. Why are you letting me do this again?
The biggest names, the best
talent. I saw Gaslight numerous times.
Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 UAM.
But I can't remember.
On behalf of the transgendered log cabin Republicans of Florida, I'd like to congratulate Charlie Crist on being our first gay governor.
He's not gay.
What do you mean not gay?
He's not because he says he's not.
Oh, come on, with that haircut and the cantan, you know that guy owns a pair of no-ass chaps.
Look, just because we dress this way doesn't give us license to judge others.
Yeah, you're right. Personal business. Mm. Personal business. You're right.
That's right.
Personal
That's
business, right. Even if you have to lie about it. Mm. And by the way, you're looking lovely tonight.
Ooh, you like it? Really?
Yeah, it's very...
This is cranberry juice I rubbed on my cheek.
Very nice, yeah. Makes you look more like a...
A woman?
Yes, Mommy. More like a woman.
Must be the lotion.
So, about Charlie Crist.
Hey, there's that admirer I was telling you about.
Who, that guy?
Yeah, get this. He drives a car.
Oh.
Yeah. He wants to meet us in the parking lot.
That could mean upwards of $10 or $20.
Yeah, let's go.
Which one is it?
It's the brown 83 Corolla with the cracked windshield.
Okay. Yeah, wait, does my mouth look pretty?
Looks fine. What do you say we kick up our heels and get on our knees?
Okay.
This method was paid for by Panties Full O' Nut. Flavor that millionaire's money can't buy.
14 till noon at 560 WQM. In 14 minutes, man, life is going to change in the state of Florida like you wouldn't believe. You know, I got to tell you, I wonder if Casino Stan is going to be there, old Stan Wertheimer. Think so?
Oh, I imagine.
Schlepper like him, he'll be there.
He'll be there with bells on, ribbons in his hair.
I never
like
really believed all these years. 30 long.
About 30, man.
Excruciating years plus. 30 and a half now, getting closer to 31 years. What are we going to do for my 31st anniversary next March 1?
I know what I plan to do.
Stay alive.
Right.
That's what I'm going to try and do. What
send
are you,
you
do?
A card or something, an e-card.
No, don't be sending me any more crap, will you, please?
No, I'm going to send you an e-card. Let's see them charge customs on that.
After months of anticipation, Las Vegas, this is what the Herald, this is the Herald's take. At the beginning of the show, I did the Sun Sentinel's take. I would have thought the Herald would probably put something on the front page, like a big banner that said,
"The sky is falling."
Like that. But they didn't. After months of anticipation, it says, Las Vegas-style slot machines will start spinning in Broward County today.
Oh, my God.
Patrons at the new Gulfstream Park Racing and Casino will have a chance to try their luck at the One-Armed Bandits when the casino doors open at noon today at 901 South Federal Highway in Hallandale Beach.
Oy!
This is the culmination of a great effort for many, many people, Gulfstream Park President Paul Micucci said in a prepared statement. I'm very proud to be involved with such dedicated and tireless people. And by the way, Paul, you might want to note, and I'm sure that some of the other people in town are aware of it, that it was Neil Rogers on here ranting and raving and encouraging people to go out and vote for this in Broward, which got helped to get this thing passed in the first place. So if you want to send, you know, several sacks of money up here in unmarked bills, hundreds, of course, would be nice. That would be great. Canadian currency, please. Oh, no, like I said, U.S. currency, please. The casino at Gulfstream will be open from noon to midnight today with simulcasting available beginning at 6 p.m. You know all that money we get under the table. Oh, God. Ah! How we wish, you know? All these years. Never got offered any graft. That's the sad part. We got 1,052 votes on the... Like that pasta, that Dreamfields pasta, you know, that allegedly that guy... Remember that call?
What about it?
Guy thinking I'm scamming or something.
Oh, yeah. You're on their payroll. You know? You're on the take.
Right. Yeah, take
They're
this.
They're cutting you in.
Take a big fat one. U.S. Airways launches takeover bid for Delta. Oh, my goodness. U.S. Airways Group said today it's made an $8 billion cash in stock bid for Delta Airlines, Inc., a deal that would create one of the world's largest carriers. The move came despite Delta's repeated statements, it's not interested in the merger. We don't want to. The offer to buy Delta once the Atlanta-based airline emerges from bankruptcy protection by the middle of next year would give Delta's unsecured creditors $4 billion in cash and 78.5 million shares of U.S. Airways stock. As it stands now, Delta's common shares are likely to end up worthless when it exits bankruptcy. In most bankruptcy cases, the net holders usually end up with new shares of the company. Doug Parker, chief executive of Tempe, Arizona-based U.S. Air, said in a telephone interview that he's aware of the comments made by Delta's management in recent months, but he believes that's a fair offer and that ultimately Delta's creditors will see that. That's what the guy at U.S. Air said. Delta's in bankruptcy, and bankruptcy is a very open process, Parker said. The process is designed so the creditors get the highest possible value for their clients. Given that process, what we've done is gone public with an alternative to a standalone plan. They opened the doors for the first machine, baby. The first real slot machine in Florida. It's going to go just like that. Jackpot! But she said Delta has consistently said that it plans to emerge from bankruptcy as an independent airline and a partridge in a pear tree. And I don't fly any of those anyway, under penalty of death. I just don't, you know? You don't fly because you can't afford to fly. Plus, where would
right.
you go anyway?
Away.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Like Vancouver sounds good.
Sure. It does. It sounds great.
Somewhere in B.C. up there where you can, get out in nature and roll up a big fat one in a newspaper. I'm sure they have a nice morning newspaper. Maureen Dowd's got a column today, and I'm sure it's got a lot of words in it I can't pronounce because the headline says, Pouring Chardonnay Diplomacy. I mean, Chardonnay I can... And maybe a little bit of cheese, too, you know? You can't have a wine tasting without cheese. Just ask Henry Barrow. Maureen Dowd says the foreign affairs fur is flying. I'm not talking about the catfight between two strong-willed, expensively dressed Democratic politicians married to California gazillionaires, with Speaker-elect Nancy Pelosi trying to yank Jane Harman from heading the House Intelligence Committee. I'm talking about the catfight between the idealists and the realists. After an election that spurned ideology and the triumphant return of the Bush 41 pragmatists James Baker and Robert Gates, the self-proclaimed idealists are reduced to hissing from the sidelines. They're hissing. The Vulcans and neocons had grandiose plans to restore trumpets, morality, and spine to foreign policy, to establish America as a hyperpower with a duty to export democracy by forcing on its own if necessary. But now the grandiose experiment of Iraq is in a sulfurous shambles. See, I told you. The grandiose experiment of Iraq is in a sulfurous shambles, and the real politic crowd is back cleaning up. In the Wall Street Journal, Michael Rubin of the American Enterprise Institute railed against the evils of Chardonnay diplomacy, recalling that in 1983, Donald Rumsfeld, President Reagan's Middle East envoy, met with Saddam Hussein in Baghdad, hoping to restore relations out of a concern over growing Iranian influence. He didn't bother to mention Saddam's use of chemical weapons. Mr. Gates was the CIA's deputy director for intelligence at the time of Mr. Rumsfeld's infamous handshake, deputy director of Central Intelligence when Saddam gassed the Kurds, and deputy national security advisor when Saddam crushed the Shiite uprising, Mr. Rubin wrote. Mr. Baker was as central. Rummy, he said, worked to right past wrongs. By contrast, the neocons fear, Mr. Gates and Mr. Baker are back winking at dictators. Already they're talking about cozying up to the evil leaders of Iran and Syria and perhaps dreaming of more concessions to the Palestinians. Israel and its supporters among Christian evangelicals are having conniptions. The idealists who love Ronald Reagan's evocation of Thomas Paine, we have it in our power to begin the world over again, are right that Americans yearn for a moral foreign policy. It was sickening in 1989 to see Brent Scowcroft, another realist back in fashion, offering a cozy supper toast to Chinese leaders only 6 months after Tiananmen Square and getting Poppy to lecture Ukrainians not to break the iron grip of Moscow. It was sickening after Father Bush sold the Persian Gulf War as a moral mission to see the 41 team decide at the end not to intervene to stop Saddam from slaughtering thousands of innocent Shiites and Kurds who rose up as the president had asked. It was sickening when the first Bush administration decided to do nothing about the genocidal Serbian war on Bosnia in 92, as Secretary of State Baker frostily explained, "We don't have a dog in that fight." Justifying the administration's tough stance toward Israel, the Velvet Hammer made another notorious comment. "F the Jews," he told a colleague privately, "they don't vote for us anyway." But while the idealists have a point, they also have a problem. Their moral war in Iraq was sold 4 years ago with two big lies, that Saddam had WMD and that the Iraqis were yearning for democracy. And it's continued in a fog of deception about imaginary progress. It's immoral to put troops' lives at risk because one is doctrinaire, to make people die for a failure of flexibility. America's bungled occupation and naive assumptions unleash sectarian bloodletting that could ultimately, as the Times' John Burns wrote, match the mass killing that characterized Mr. Hussein's psychopathic years in power and embolden authoritarian Arab leaders. Bush Jr. cast himself as the Reagan heir, but as President Reagan showed in Lebanon when he pulled out troops after 241 servicemen were blown up, and in Reykjavik negotiating with Gorbachev on nuclear arms, he was incredibly flexible, an effective contrast with his inflexible rhetoric. He pursued openings and even radical diplomacy. If the Gipper was wood, the decider is stone. Voters rejected W's black and white, good and evil, incompetent foreign policy last week. The president got the message that some shades of gray were desirable and brought in the family fixer with the bright green ties, who's perfectly positioned to come up with a solution that will fly in Washington and flop in Baghdad. As the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr taught, morality without realism is naivete or worse, and realism without morality is cynicism or worse. Morality should open your eyes, not close them. That's what Maureen says with a whole bunch of words in there that I have that butchered real bad. She's great, but she... See, this is one reason that a lot of people don't read newspaper articles or, like, even Time or Newsweek.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
I know.
This is the truth. And that is that a lot of these columnists, and even the very good ones like her, they for some reason, they have this desire, this endless desire, to use words that most people can't even pronounce, much less understand.
Well, it makes them look smart.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
They're smart and we're dumb, like Fredo, for example. Yeah, that's the way I look at it. Like your president, smart, like Fredo.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart, and I want respect.
Yeah, we're sending Fredo to Vegas under the protection of the whatever it was on the West Coast. What was that family on the West Coast? Don Francesco on the West Coast. Don Francesco. What a memory for Godfather trivia, man. There's a movie that is in play. Even Josh can't knock it.
Nobody can. Even.
What?
Nobody can.
Right, nobody can knock The Godfather. In fact, I think, how do we find those things, by the way? How the hell do I do
that?
It's
an amazing miracle, miraculous magic.
What is it?
It's a miracle.
What's the matter with you? I think your brain is going soft.
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wok, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
Don't ever take sides with anyone, a
against the family again.
Ever.
Ever.
For justice, we must go to Don Corleone.
Although I will say this, you know, as good as he was in Godfather, Al Pacino...
Where did you learn your trade, you idiot? Whoever told you that you could work with men? What you're hired for is to help us. Does that seem clear to you? To help us. To help men who are going out there to try to earn a living. You company man. You fairy.
Had some great moments.
A rare
outside
performance
the Godfather.
By all
I
involved.
Beg your pardon?
That was a rare performance by everyone involved.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Glengarry Glen Ross, there's another movie you ought to put on. After you watch Match Point, Glengarry Glen Ross. There's no sex in it, but then again. In fact, most of the people in that movie are too old to be having any sex. 1,064 votes on the poll. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's just to try to make a point. I don't know what the mm-hmm. point was. They're old.
Right.
There's
even
nobody
the machine.
Hot. There's nobody hot in that movie, okay?
No.
There's no Brady Quinn. There's no, what's her name? From Match Point.
Scarlett Johansson.
Sorry.
Right.
Which religious group is the most malignant? 1,064 votes. Born-again Christians, 514. Muslims, 269. Man, it's almost double trouble for the born-agains. You mumsers. Scientologists, 89. I hate this poll, 84. 7.8%. That's a bad number. We don't like it. You know what? Too bad. All you people who voted I hate this poll, you're going to burn in hell. Orthodox Jews, 55. And Catholics, 55. A lot in common. A lot of silly headgear.
The biggest names, the best talent. This
a lot of rituals.
Neil Rogers, Sports Radio.
A lot of baubles, bangles, and beads.
I am Frau Ileana Ross-Leitman, and I like scrubbing my smelly gorilla ass with soap made from jewels and listening to the Neil Roche Comunista Hour. Hey, Brian! Hello, friends. I am the Reverend Ted Haggard, former president of the National Association of Evangelicals. I have taken early retirement from that fine organization to pursue another calling. Not a higher calling, really, more of a lower calling. Much, much lower. And even though President Bush won't return my calls anymore, and I've been kicked out of my church, I found a new home on television. Beginning next Sunday, the Bravo Network will premiere my series, Queer Eye on the Preacher Guy. On the premiere episode, my special guest will be Neil Patrick Harris. And wasn't he cute when he was that little Doogie Howser MD? Neil and I will discuss several important topics, including when is a massage more than a massage? Saddam Hussein, evil man, but really hot in those boxer shorts. And we'll review the new Clay Aiken CD. Then, in the sports segment of my show, we'll open play in the Reverend Ted Haggard Cornhole Tournament. That's Queer Eye on the Preacher Guy with me, the Reverend Ted Haggard, Sundays on Bravo. It'll be so much fun, you'll think you just snorted meth with a male escort.
1203 at 560 WQAM. All the hypocrites all the time, all the religious fanatics, all the getchkies, all the finger pointers, all the don't do as I do as I sayers all the time. You just had him right up to here, as somebody would say, right up to here, right
who,
up to my
who would say that?
Armpits. Ryan Cox. In fact, I think I got some of that old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even want to hear about the negative stuff.
Okay, good. That's as much as I'm playing to him. He was sure a credit to the team and the community, wasn't he?
Both.
Yeah, he was just great.
Both.
Didn't he wind up with the JETS, they suck Jets? I think so.
Yes, he did.
And a match made in heaven.
And eventually wound up on TV, just like every other...
well, everybody does, don't they? How about that Dancing with the Stars? Maybe it could be on that. Frustrated by local TV news outlets that run commercials disguised as news, an FCC commissioner wants to investigate stations that don't tell viewers they may be watching corporate propaganda instead of independently reported information. And by the way, it's 12:04. Do you know where your loose change is right now? It's probably in a machine at Gulfstream. You realize that? 4 minutes ago, they let the crowd in. And you can just imagine, can't you see those old people with their walkers and with their oxygen tanks just schlepping?
Oh, yeah. It's a walker race.
Oh, I sure hope they got the walkers with the wheels on so they can do wheelies on the way to get the good machine on.
Those
I bet you every machine is full right now. I bet you every
probably.
And you know something? If this was a real radio station, which, of course, it is not, and we had a real program to Richard,
don't
which,
even,
of course, we don't have.
Don't even
you know
go there, girlfriend.
we would have somebody
a
there.
A reporter.
For the opening day. I mean, I'm sure the people there would be ecstatic. I mean, we're supposed to be good bunk butt buddies with those people over there, all the pure mutuals, including Gulfstream. And you'd think that we'd have somebody there to call in on the bat line and give us a report.
Boy, they pay you all that money because you're funny, right?
Yeah. I'm just telling you, that would be the way we'd do it. I said if it was a real radio station, which, of course, it's not. If we had any support on the show, which we do not. KGO-TV, an ABC affiliate in San Francisco, was one of 46 stations in 22 states cited for improperly including video news releases, or VNRs, into news stories, according to a report released yesterday by two watchdog groups, Center for Media and Democracy and Free Press. Tuesday's report was a follow-up to an April study by the same organizations that found that 77 stations nationally, including CBS 5 TV in San Francisco, KPIX, had improperly used VNRs. Representatives of both stations acknowledged erroneously using them and called them isolated incidents. A VNR is a prepackaged segment that looks and sounds like journalistically reported information, but is produced by either a public relations firm or a government body with a vested interest in the product or service being described. In other words, propaganda. While media advocates say including prepackaged material may not seem as serious when a TV news reporter is doing a fluffy feature piece on what kind of lipstick to wear, like that tangerine lip gloss, what's his name likes?
Who?
What is it? Jim,
Rome?
Who is it?
Jim Rome?
No, not Jim Rome. Mission Impossible.
Oh, Peter Graves.
Peter Graves. Why do I always call him Jim? Because that was his name in the show, Jim.
Okay.
The implications could be more dire if the journalist broadcasts corporately produced information without critical examination or identification when reporting on a new treatment for liver cancer. Tuesday's six-month investigation included a story aired by a TV station in Missouri that questioned global warming and was largely based on a VNR created by oil industry lobbyists. The station did not identify the source of the material. The Federal Communications Act requires broadcasters to inform their audience that such matter is sponsored, paid for, or furnished either in whole or in part, and by whom or on whose behalf such consideration was supplied. Failure to identify the source of a VNR is also an ethical violation. The industry's Radio TV News Directors Association guidelines on VNR usage says news managers and producers should clearly disclose the origin of information and label all material provided by corporate or other non-editorial sources, and a partridge in a pear tree. The brainwashing of America, baby. It's alive and well. Make no mistake about it. Ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
How are those machines doing over there at Gulfstream?
Hmm?
Isn't that exciting? Now, you do realize next time that I'm down there, can you imagine, can you see me going to that place?
No.
Why not?
I don't know, because you got lots of places up there to go to.
Yeah, that's right. Why not when I come down there, I want to, like, plunge my guts out, especially with that American currency, you know, that cheesy American cash, sliding those hundreds in there. One thing about, and let me just say this to you, don't say I didn't warn you. If you have an addictive personality...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Slots are very addictive. Don't get started.
What is it?
I beg your pardon?
If you have an addictive personality, don't get started.
That's what I was just going to say.
Fill in the blank.
Don't
yeah.
start.
Anything.
And then don't say, oh, well, gee, they're fleecing my money and I got no chance. Well, then don't go there. Nobody's going to drag you off the street and with a skyhook and drag you inside the building, okay? I'm just telling you that right up front. And the other thing I wanted to say is, speaking of $100 bills or whatever kind of bills you're talking about, money loses its meaning in a casino. Not just at slot machines, anything you're playing, blackjack, craps, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Money loses its value. And so,
right.
Like, when you're sitting there shoving in $100 bills one after the other like I do, it's like Monopoly money. It's like funny money. It's not like real money. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
So don't get started, Mr. Hotshot. I know you'll be there at 2:05. You'll be right up the
right.
street. I can just see you right now.
Listen, like you said earlier in the show... Take as much as you were able to lose.
Right.
Okay.
Which in your case is nothing.
Nothing, so there you go. End of story.
Now, is Josh already gone? I heard Josh is going to be giving us a live report from Gulfstream.
I should have went down
there. You should have gone down there, man. You should have taken your cell. Called in. We wouldn't answer the phone, but nevertheless.
Hey, you tell me. I'll leave right now. I'll even play a slot or two.
Don't be playing those slots, Mr. Hotshot. Don't get started. Lou Dobbs has a column here. You know your buddy Lou Dobbs, your hero and the arch enemy of all those illegal aliens? He says, I'm a populist and proud of it. Should I read Lou Dobbs' column? I can't give it that pompous, two-fisted approach that he does. The Democratic victory last week has our political elites in both parties and the national media squealing like, and I, look at this, the right-hand column of this is all chopped off. I can't read it. Good. I didn't want to read it anyway. See, sometimes it's like a blessing in disguise. That was sensational. I know if I knew how to print out a story
You do know how, you just don't want to.
I don't want to. I'm lazy. I don't want to. I don't want to. How do you like that?
If you were lazy, you would do it the other way.
What does that mean?
You're going through more work than you need to.
How am I going through more work?
Because it's spitting out all these pages and you got to sift through all that crap to find what you want. Instead of just get everything you want on one page.
Did you say sift?
I said sift.
Oh, we got almost 1,100 votes now. When the next slot machine goes off, wait, there it is. There's that report from Gulfstream. We'll have 1,100 votes. In fact, I'm going to refresh it. There's that obnoxious Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Another real yahoo. Why is it that most of the Republicans are yahoos?
One of those things.
Does it go hand in hand with their philosophy, you know, with their mentality, with their Stone Age mentality, and their repressive, hypocritical BS?
You know it.
1,095 votes on the poll, 1,097. If I keep refreshing it, look at that. That like magic, just like those Godfather and Glengarry Glen Ross.
That's amazing. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Johnny Fontaine will never get that movie. I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wop, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
I'm German-Irish. Well, let me tell you something, my Kraut Mick friend. I'm going to make so much trouble for you, you won't know what to
do. Mr. Walsh, come a lawyer. I have not threatened. I know almost every big lawyer in New York. Who the hell are you?
Who the hell are you? He's from Horseheads, New York. Oh, 1099 again. That must be a tax thing. It means you're 1,100. We got it. Told you. Boy, 1,100 votes on the poll. It's only 1,211. I think the reason we're doing so well on the polls lately is because of that Drew Rosenstein-Berg House show now in the morning on Wednesdays.
Is there any doubt?
On our morning show. There can be no doubt. No doubt about it. He is the man. Reviled by most and hated by some. By many. But nevertheless. We got him. And then, of course, there's Ira Winback. Look what Ira did for Hank's show in the morning. Now, when you got a loser like that, like Ira, wouldn't you keep bringing him back again and foisting him on everybody you could to try to destroy their show?
I'd have him on every day.
Absolutely. You bet. I say give him his own damn show, like from 6 to 10 a.m. and like from 2 to midnight. Just pay the other guys to lay out a little bit, Mad Dog and Hank. They've paid their dues. Just pay them to do, you know, I mean, like Mad Dog, he does X number of shows a year. What a scam he's got.
Really?
How many shows a year does he do? You know that. He does a certain number of shows a year. And that's it. And once beyond that, that's it. He won't do no more. Isn't that a good deal?
It's a great deal.
Like I said, I'll do 50 shows a year for, you know, for the same money, but like that. And I'll show up whenever I feel like it. In other words, just tune in and see if I'm there. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Tune in and see if Neil's on it, like during the summer show.
Right.
What is it?
Like spin the wheel of Neil.
The wheel of me. Oh, let's get Rick and Suz back with the wheel of meat.
No.
Absolutely not. Well, that was really a dumb bit. You know, that. Where the hell did he come up with that? You know that's Rick.
Of course.
You know, that wasn't Suds' idea. That had to be Rick.
Right.
The wheel of meat. Mm. So, speaking of rednecks.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
She works in the old Big Apple. Always thinking about living in that White House castle. In 4 years, she'll have an election to tackle. Good Lord, don't let Hillary run.
No.
In 2008, good Lord, don't let Hillary run.
Absolutely.
No, no. Who wants another Clinton? No, no, no. If she wins, we're finished and done. So good Lord, don't let Hillary run.
518 at 560 WQM. And don't forget, Obama beat a man. Obama from Alabama with a banjo on his knee.
Iraq.
Homeowners should be able to get bare-bones property insurance with higher deductibles, coverage for only part of their home's value, or even a policy that doesn't cover hurricane damage, according to planned recommendations from a state panel. Floridians have seen hurricane premiums go through the roof in the last few years with 8 hurricanes. I know. I know all about it. You want to pay my homeowner's insurance for this year?
No, thanks, but I bet mine's more.
Not bad, it ain't.
I'm east of 95, mandatory windstorm,
like
mandatory
I said, you
flood.
Pay yours, I'll pay mine. With 8 hurricanes having affected the state in the last few years. Forecasts for a more active storm period have scared insurers who say they paid out billions in claims and are worried about insolvency. Going out of business, just like us here at QAM and over across the way at Power 96, where they brought back Greg Reed because they were ill and over there. That is really, it just blows my mind. You know, somewhere out there, there's a murderer on the loose. You know that?
Where?
Somewhere.
Oh, Summers?
The insurance crisis has flummoxed state policymakers because insurance companies have warned, it's flummoxed them. Because insurance companies have warned that rates must go up if those companies are to continue offering their products in Florida. A special task force named by fat-ass Governor Bush to study the problem and make recommendations to lawmakers is finishing its work with its final meeting going on today. And it's 12:19. Do you know where your loose change is now and what machine it's in, Mon? A draft of likely recommendations included a number of proposals that would lessen the risk of property insurance companies, many by essentially allowing homeowners to take on greater risk themselves. By being allowed to sell scaled-down policies, companies could offer lower rates, the thinking goes. Currently, most companies don't sell policies for some perils, such as fire or sinkhole damage, without selling wind coverage. The Property and Casualty Insurance Reform Committee is expected to recommend a change in that policy. Such a change would allow a homeowner to buy coverage for personal contents, fire, theft, or other types of coverage, for example, but reject wind coverage. Mortgage holders wouldn't be able to buy such limited policies because their bank will require full coverage, but some could, including some mobile homeowners and others who paid off their home, such as retirees who sold their homes up north and paid cash for their Florida house. Consumers should also be able to choose higher deductibles and insure only the value of the outstanding part of their mortgage, the panel suggested. Most of the proposals would need legislative approval. Fat-ass Bush has said that if lawmakers can reach a consensus on what to do, he may call a special legislative session to tackle some of the potential fixes before he leaves office in January. Other recommendations in the panel's draft proposal include making it easier for companies to get coverage from the state fund that backs up insurance companies, the Hurricane Catastrophe Fund, and making that coverage a bit more expensive, closer to what private reinsurance companies charge. And it goes on. But it'd be pitiful. In other words, we're getting raped at it, and we better enjoy it. Sit back and enjoy it.
All right. Think of England.
Put a smile on your face and let Joey's ass be your umbrella. What was that crap he used to say, that line?
Oh, let us.
Your buddy Joey.
Let a smile be your umbrella and rain on your face. I don't know.
Yeah, and Stephens, a senior U.S. government official, said yesterday, they're rattling their Britney Spears again. How do you like that? They're rattling it again. The U.S. and its allies, by the way, I just was looking at one of those websites. They're looking for my buddy. Well, I got so many now. And there was your buddy, Ryan Filippi, was on there. Filippi. Almost naked. And one of the things said, boy, he sure is a lot prettier than his wife. And you'd agree with that.
Uh-huh. My ass is prettier than his wife.
Well, there you go. And the picture I had in there in the Inquirer, she looked really
fine.
Nice.
You know, you can do a lot
of things. Hot,
photo
but like
magic.
Kind of tepid, lukewarm, you know. Not as hot as he is, but then again.
She scares blind children.
U.S. and its allies have accused Iran of pursuing nuclear weapons under the guise of a civilian energy program and are pushing for U.N. sanctions. Tehran, of course, denies the accusation. That's our buddy Ahmadinejad. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm slow. Wait.
See? I beat you to it. Sorry. Not even close. If North Korea refused to renounce its nuclear program and Iran developed a nuclear weapons capability, it would lead other countries in the region to seek nuclear weapons, said the U.S. official, speaking on condition of anonymity, of course, because he values his life a lot. We, the U.S., and others who might be threatened by these developments will have to look at how to respond. And inevitably, I think people will have to look at the question of preemption, the official told reporters. Preemption, here we go again. If you liked Iraq, just wait. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you think things are going swimmingly well there, just wait. He said, I think it's inevitable that any American administration, not just this one, but future administrations will have to look at preemptive strategies. We get them before they get us. Right. He wasn't saying that the U.S. was going to launch a preemptive strike tomorrow, he said. Maybe a week from the next Sukkot or something like that. Sukkot was in October, by the way. And we look up all those holidays already. And we got Thanksgiving a week from tomorrow, and then we start heavy duty, baby. After Thanksgiving, we start really, really. Isn't it the day after Thanksgiving, Friday the 24th? That's the big shopping day, the number one shopping day. And everybody goes out there rushing around buying their Hanukkah and Christmas gifts.
That's the day.
I'm looking for a store to buy all of my stuff, which I don't buy gifts for anybody because I'm a hard old Jew. But I'm looking for a store where they say Happy Holidays.
Okay.
Or maybe just Have a Great Life. Or maybe just
I Have No Life.
That would be good as opposed to all this.
Or maybe
Merry
nothing.
Christmas.
How about leave me alone, let me buy what I want, and get the hell out of here, and don't talk to me?
Exactly, and quit proselytizing, okay? If I want to go to church or to shul, I'll go there. If I want to buy something, I'll come here. You want my money? Fine. If not, stick it where the moon don't shine.
Hub-mandrared.
Stick it in your tukus.
Hubbub-mandrared.
Yeah. How about a patch in tukus? Please don't tell me that he's Jewish.
All right, I won't.
Let's see. Where is... I'm looking for something right here. I'll find it. One moment, please. Oh, there it is. Oh, boy. That's something else. Anyway. We have 1,129 votes on the poll. Let's see how we're doing on the reads on the stories today, okay? You never can be too sure about this town, you know, even though it's been 30 years. We've got this big, loyal audience. It's wonderful. We love them. They sometimes love us, usually not. Well, look at that. We got over 300 reads. Bush and Roe blew the election on purpose, ? Which is a silly story, but read it anyway. Did you read that?
No.
Don't waste your time.
All right.
Oh, you'll like this story, though. When Polish student Michael Gromek, 19, went to America on a student exchange program, he found himself trapped in a host family of Christian fundamentalists. What followed was a six-month hell of dawn church visits and sex education talks as his new family tried to banish the devil from his soul. Here is his story. My half year of hell with Christian fundamentalists. I think I'm going to take the break. I don't want to, like, read this too fast.
Okay.
Michael Gromek, Polish exchange. Now, see, the reason that this is of interest to you is because, you know, your daughter went to Japan. You had a little Japanese girl. You mm-hmm. did a student exchange thing.
Right.
And luckily, the Japanese girl didn't come to some family of Getchkes who were trying to brainwash her.
It happens every once in a while.
What's that?
That these exchange students wind up, like the story that you're about to read, in the house of some religious fanatic.
Yeah. Isn't that something? I think there ought to be a law against that. You know, it's one thing to pollute the minds of American kids, but to bring in people, unsuspecting people's children from around the rest of the a little slightly more enlightened world and to try to, like the Polish, for example.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Know that the Lord even loves Neil Rogers.
1231 and 560 WQM. All the Bubba Mises all the time, baby. All the religious killing and hate all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, getting back to Michael Gromek, 19, he was an exchange student from Poland.
Okay.
And this is his story in a nutshell, briefly. He says, when I got out of the plane in Greensboro in the U.S. state of North Carolina, I would never have expected my host family to welcome me at the airport, wielding a Bible and saying, child, our Lord sent you halfway around the world to bring you to us. At that moment, I just wanted to turn around and run back to the plane, he said. Things began to go wrong as soon as I arrived in my new home in Winston-Salem, where I was to spend my year abroad. For example, every Monday my host family would gather around the kitchen table to talk about sex. My host parents hadn't had sex for the last 17 years because, so they told me, they were devoting their lives to God. They also wanted to know whether I drank alcohol. I admitted I liked beer and wine. They told me I had the devil in my heart. My host parents treated me like a five-year-old. They gave me lollipops. They woke me up every Sunday morning at 6:15 a.m. saying, Michael, it's time to go to church. I hated that sentence. When I didn't want to go to church one morning because I'd hardly slept, they didn't allow me to have any coffee. One day I was talking to my host parents about my mother who separated from my father. They were appalled. My mother's heart was just as possessed by the devil as mine, they exclaimed. God wanted her to stay with her husband, they said. Then, seeing as we were already on the topic of God's will, the religious zealots finally brought up a subject which had clearly been on their minds for a long time. They wanted me to help them set up a fundamentalist Baptist church in my home country of Poland. It was God's will, they said. They tried to slip the topic casually into conversation, but it really shocked me. I realized that was the only reason they had welcomed me into their family. They had already started construction work in Krakow. I was to help them with translations and with spreading their faith via the media. It was clear to me that there was no way I was going to do that. The family was appalled. It was a weird situation. After all, these people were my only company at the time. If I hadn't kept in touch with home through email, I might have been sucked into that world. Or just plain, well, it was only after 4 months that I decided to change my host family. I kept hoping that things might improve, but it was futile. Telling them I wanted to go was the most unpleasant moment I experienced in that half year. Of course, they didn't understand. How could they? They had grown up with their faith and were convinced of it, and then suddenly I turned up and refused to fit in. From that moment on, I counted the days. The 2 months that followed my decision were hell. My host parents detested me. There were constant rows. I could sense they just wanted to get rid of me. They didn't know what to do with me no more. 67 days later, I was finally in a new family. They were young, actually more friends than host parents, and I was very happy there. Because my new family was only 50 kilometers, 30 miles away from the other one, I was distrustful at first and afraid things wouldn't be no better, but the change was worth it. Despite everything, I still haven't come to terms with my experience. I want to write the religious family soon and explain to them clearly and calmly why things went so wrong. It shouldn't just end this way. What he's trying to say is they were real farbissen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's trying to say.
And the exchange students are often very freaked out because, unlike the rest of us here in America who are used to being surrounded by these nut jobs, they're not so prevalent in these other countries.
That is correct. That is absolutely,
absolutely correct.
So they never, you know, there are a lot of things that take them by surprise, and that's one
right. Although every now and then you'll run into a getchke here, for example, in Toronto, where they're on the street corners. Anywhere you go in the world, you find crazy people on street corners handing out religious pamphlets and crap and mumbling inarticulate garbage. Because they're like that because they're crazy. Don't forget, the religious people are the crazy people, and the crazy people are the dangerous people. You know what George always says about dangerous people? They scare the crap out of us.
That's right.
Fort Campbell, Kentucky, one of four U.S. soldiers accused of raping an Iraqi girl last spring and killing her and her family, pleaded guilty today and will testify against the others. Specialist James P. Barker agreed to the plea deal to avoid the death penalty, said his civilian attorney David Sheldon. The killings in Mahmoudia, a village about 20 miles south of Baghdad. Don't you love the way I said that? Mahmoudia.
Great work.
See, anywhere there's like an H in like any Arabic or Israeli, or it's always... Like that. Get that deli dairy going, baby. Get those cheese blintzes all worked up in your throat. That's it. The killings in Mahmoudia, a village about 20 miles south of Baghdad, were among the worst in a series of alleged attacks on civilians and other abuses by military personnel in Iraq. Sergeant Paul E. Cortez, I wonder if he's kidding Dave Baby Cortez, and don't you dare play that happy organ again, please.
All right.
Sergeant Paul E. Cortez and... Private First Class Jesse V. Spielman, both members of the 101st Airborne Division with Barker, could face the death penalty if convicted in the case in courts-martial at Fort Campbell. Courts-martial, don't you just love that?
Yes.
I never was able to figure that out. I mean, you know, I was pretty good a linguist in my day, although obviously the way I read these stories, you'd never know that. But anyway.
Well, because court is the noun.
I understand that, but still, it just don't seem too
not.
Correct to me. The alleged ringleader, former Army Private Steve Green, 21, pleaded not guilty last week to charges including murder and sexual assault. Green was discharged from the Army for a personality disorder before the allegations became known, and prosecutors have yet to say if they'll pursue the death penalty against him. The indictment accuses Green and others of raping the girl and burning her body to conceal their crimes. It also alleges that Green and four others stationed at a nearby checkpoint killed the girl's father, mother, and 6-year-old sister. Barker's given investigators vivid accounts of the assault. How do you like that?
I don't
understand why they hate us. Where's the candy and the flowers you promised us,
That's right.
Just because they were playing that song, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. Who did that, Lynn Anderson?
Yes.
Don't play it.
All right.
Oh, Doug Thompson writes in The Rant today. I don't know. This is his opinion, all right? Are you starting to play that retardo country music again?
Yes.
Here on Kiss Country. Let's get Johnny Dark to pump out the country hits. Beg your pardon.
Johnny Dark!
There we go. And then, of course, there's always...
Johnny Dark!
Yeah, that. Oh, yeah. What a finger, man. What a fast finger. Maybe Brady Quinn could find out how fast that finger is. Man. Whew. Wash it off now. Oh, speaking of that, Murtha is too dirty to lead Democrats. That's the article by Doug Thompson on CapitolHillBlue.com. It's too dirty. Go wash it off. But it's just a purple ink stain, I voted. Incoming Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi promises changes in the corrupt way Congress conducts its business, but her shameless promotion of Pennsylvania Representative John Murtha suggests her reign at the top will be business as usual when it comes to protecting one of her own. One of the first rules of politics is to avoid the appearance of impropriety. It doesn't matter if you're guilty or innocent of wrongdoing. You must work your ass off to prove you're above suspicion. Murtha, unfortunately, doesn't pass the smell test. He has a long history of pandering to fat cat lobbyists, manipulating the system for personal gain, and using the power of office to benefit his family and friends. And then there's Abscam, the FBI sting operation that targeted 31 elected officials and convicted a senator and 5 congressmen of bribery and conspiracy. Murtha was one of those targeted because of his cozy relationship with defense lobbyists. In a videotape, which they showed on the news last night, Murtha turned down a bribe of $50,000 from an undercover FBI agent, not because he felt it was wrong, but to use his words, because he didn't know him. I'm not interested at this point, Murtha said. We do business for a while. Maybe I'll be interested. Maybe I won't. Not interested at this point. Do business for a while. Are these the comments of an honest man or one who's just being careful? Careful? An honest man would have stalked out of the room and reported the attempted bribe. Murtha didn't do either one. He sat there and left the door open for a future relationship with the man who openly offered him a bribe. Murtha said he didn't do anything wrong. He's lying. By not reporting the attempted bribe, he became complicit in the corruption that's long been part of life on Capitol Hill. By keeping his mouth shut, he gave support to a system that still exists today, even with stings like Abscam and current scandals like Jack Abramoff. Pelosi promises to clean up Congress, and with the pile of garbage left by Republicans, she'll need a big broom. But any claim, maybe she needs the Swiffer Duster. But any claims of restoring integrity to government are invalidated when she openly backs a congressman with a checkered past and unanswered questions about his ethics. Murtha claims bringing up Abscam is a swift voting attack engineered by his opponent for House leader job, Maryland Representative Steny Hoyer. So much for Democratic unity. Pelosi's actions as Speaker will be scrutinized at microscopic levels, given her position as the first woman to ever hold a job, and her promises to turn Congress into the most ethical legislative body in history. Dealing with Murtha, here was her first test, and she flunked it.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
It's Hank Goldberg. También es un hipopótamo.
Tonight on TV Land, Neil Patrick Harris stars in back-to-back-to-back episodes of Doogie Howser Proctologist. All night long on TV Land.
Rectum.
1245. Speaking of that, the South African Parliament yesterday approved new legislation recognizing gay marriages.
How do you like that?
A first for a continent where homosexuality is largely taboo. The National Assembly passed the civil union bill, worked out after months of heated public discussion, by a vote of 230-41. Despite criticism from both traditionalists and gay activists and warnings that it might be unconstitutional, there were three abstentions. 203-41. The bill provides for the voluntary union of two persons, which is solemnized and registered, not sodomized, but solemnized and registered by either a marriage or a civil union. It doesn't specify whether they are heterosexual or homosexual partnerships, but it also says marriage officers need not perform a ceremony between same-sex couples if doing so would conflict with his or her conscience, religion, and belief. When we attained our democracy, we sought to distinguish ourselves from an unjust, painful past by declaring that never again shall it be that any South African will be discriminated against on the basis of color, creed, culture, and sex. Home Affairs Minister, and I have no idea what his name is, told the National Assembly. There's nothing but consonants. You know, they need a vowel movement. The bill had been expected to pass given the overwhelming majority of the ruling African National Congress despite unease among rank-and-file lawmakers. It now has to go to the National Council of Provinces, which is expected to be a formality before being signed into law by President Thabo Mbeki, M-B-E-K-I. Oh, wait till you hear this. Not that this is any surprise, but it's just they're so blatant, they're so flagrant, it's so obvious, and there's so many stupid people out there who actually are conned in and believe like it's a news organization, Fox News, an oxymoron if there ever was one. Fox News my ass. The Huffington Post has this story, Fox News internal memo. It's got a copy of it. Be on the lookout for any statements from the Iraqi insurgents thrilled at the prospect of a Democrat-controlled Congress. And here's the Thursday update from Fox. An internal Fox News memo written by the network's vice president of news. It says a couple of thumpies, to use a variation of Bush's term, speak today. Webb has won in Virginia. The balance of power in the Senate is now 51-49. Sanders and Lieberman will organize with the D's. He'll come out and concede. Let's take it. Rumsfeld had a previous speaking engagement in Kansas. He ought to be in a fine mood. Can one fake smile hide that much frustration? We'll take that, too. The elections and Rumsfeld's resignation were a major event, but not the end of the world. The war on terror goes on without interruption. Jennifer Griffin sent info on Hamas's call for attacks on American interests, and let's be on the lookout for any statements from Iraqi insurgents who must be thrilled at the prospect of a Democratic-controlled Congress. The question of the day, and indeed for the rest of Bush's term, is, what's the Democratic plan for Iraq? This could be a very short live shot for Jim Angle, but he'll try. In the House, the newly empowered Democrats will shed some fraternal blood before settling in. Murtha will challenge Hoyer for leadership, a former hawk versus a political hack, Garrett will observe. And we'll continue to work the Hamas threat to the U.S. that came hours after the election results. Griffin and Tobin will include in their lives. Just because the Democrats won, the war on terror isn't over. Fair and balanced, baby. The fascist news network. Make no mistake about it. Like I said, not that there's any surprise.
Right.
Oh, thanks, by the way, for it. Now, I'm sure it was you that sent me that Walmart propaganda. I mean, that anti-Walmart DVD. I didn't watch it yet.
Oh, one of our fine listeners sent us both.
Like I said, thank you very much, and thanks to Green Van Day for that fantastic book about 9/11.
And thanks to Boca Bryan for continuing to put those in the diplomatic pouch, since obviously they won't send anything that I send.
Well, they know you.
Apparently.
They're not too big in illegal aliens, okay?
Well, what do they care in Canada?
They don't.
Canada.
A lawyers group has asked Germany to sue former U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld over alleged prisoner abuse in Iraq and Guantanamo Bay. as in
Abu Ghraib.
The complaint was filed by the U.S.-based Center for Constitutional Rights on behalf of a Saudi man held in Cuba and 11 Iraqis held in Baghdad. German law allows the pursuit of cases originating anywhere in the world. State prosecutors have yet to decide whether to pursue the case. And an earlier request in a case in 2004 was dropped. Michael Ratner, the Senate's president, said he felt the case had a better chance of succeeding now because Mr. Rumsfeld was no longer in office, couldn't exert the same political pressure. He added that the Senate had more evidence than it did in 2004, citing the case of detained Saudi national Mohammed al-Qahtani. Al-Qahtani was a man who the U.S. alleged is al-Qaeda, who's in Gitmo and was exposed to the entire torture log of al-Qahtani over a period of 2 months, they told the BBC. The Center for Constitutional Rights argues that Rumsfeld was instrumental in the torture being committed at Gitmo and at the jail in Baghdad. And it goes on. How do you like that? Well, we got Henry Kissinger's wanted in France for war crimes. And now we got Kissinger in Germany. Let's put him on a plane together and send him over there for a nice, you know, hanging. Speaking of crazy people, by the way, Rudy Giuliani, he's got two chances of getting the Republican nomination. Didn't I say this yesterday? I'll say it again. None and much less than none. Wait till you hear this. I already told you before the show. I shouldn't have told you. You'll fall off the chair. Did he fall yet?
I'm getting ready
Giuliani
to.
Giuliani compares Bush to Winston Churchill.
Oh, my God.
I heard that story.
It looks like someone else is in a state of denial. It says, yesterday, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani set up that exploratory committee for a possible run at the Republican presidential nomination in 2008. Arizona Senator John McCain made a similar announcement over the weekend. It is likely that Bill Fist, Mitt Romney, George Pataki, and Mike Huckabee will do the same in coming weeks. Mike Huckabee, my ass, who the hell is that? As of now, if he does indeed run, Giuliani will try to gain Republican support by cozying up to President Bush. The former New York mayor defended George W. Bush yesterday, even comparing the recent anti-Bush sentiment to the kind that the late Winston Churchill received years ago. It doesn't matter what the media does to ridicule him or misinterpret him or defeat him. They ridiculed Winston Churchill. They belittled Ronald Reagan. But like President Bush, they were optimists, said Rudy Giuliani, who's one of the worst things he's got going for him, is beside the ugly divorce and all the philandering, is that his name ends in a vowel. I think he needs a good vowel movement, Rudy Giuliani. And, of course, his former chief of police, who was using that love nest over there across from the World Trade Center, that they're going to hang around his neck like an albatross, driven by Harry Harvey and later by Stanley Dancer, the late. Here's a fact that says, after exercising my right to vote, and in doing so, chose Democrats across the board. I'm an independent. When I heard about the Pelosi and her support for Murtha and Alcee Hastings because she didn't like two other people running, even though they had no baggage, I was as pissed off at her as I am at the Republicans. I hope she burns in hell, the lying, deceptive biatch. See, and he writes biatch. Stop with this nonsense, will you? Bitch, bitch. If you don't have the balls to say bitch, then you don't belong on the planet, okay?
Biatch is cooler.
Stuff is such,
Yo-yo.
Crap. It's crap. No, it's not just yo-yo. It's not just that Black East part of it. It's just people that don't want to say bitch, they say biatch. You know, it's not funny. It's wimpy. Don't be a pusey, man.
You biatch.
I hope she burns in hell, the lying, deceptive bitch. Perhaps the scream soundbite associated with her name is more fitting than we thought. The scream soundbite associated with her name...
Is that it? I don't know.
I don't have any idea what he's talking about. Nancy Pelosi? What does that mean?
I don't know. Those are canned screams, what we got.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. Just calm down, okay? Just don't get all your knickers in a wad. Oh, there's John McCain.
I believe that more Iraq...
Oh, there's General Abizet who said, but they're all dead over there, is what he said about Iraq. Everybody's dead. 1180, dialed up 1180, WHAM in Rochester, one of the worst radio stations. Although when I was a kid, I used to win hockey tickets to the Rochester Amherst game from Bob Turner, who used to do the sports show on WHAM. Isn't that exciting?
No.
It was real exciting to turn on the radio and have him announce the names of the five winners, because who the hell wanted to go to hockey games anyway? Well, we did okay. The Rochester Amherst, baby. I'm giving up football. It's hockey season. The Leafs are off to a good start. Panthers are really—they're reeling. They're not so hot. I don't see how that franchise is going to continue. Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
I said that last year. You can't have a franchise with no crowd. There's no interest. So I got a great idea. Let's do a hockey show.
Ooh, I'll get Rimmer on the horn.
Jimmy Buffett has filed a lawsuit alleging that a Galveston merchant is unlawfully using his trademark to sell goods at an online store. Jimmy Buffett. Now there's another real state of mind, you know, like the Rascal House, like the Forge. Jimmy Buffett. Oh, but he's the Keys, man. He's South Florida. Yeah, he's, you know, Yeah, that's right. Let me give you one word to describe him and his so-called music.
Crap.
That's it. Little Miss Muffet set on her buffet, killing the Kurds. Okay, that's enough. The lawsuit filed this week in federal court seeks to shut down Robert Acard's website, underonehut.com. The lawsuit claims the website falsely represents itself as Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville online store for merchandise. Well, a lawyer for Buffett said part of the problem is that some of the items on the website, which sells clothing and beach-themed novelties, are overpriced. Many of these products are ones Acard is not even authorized to sell, but primarily the problem is that in some cases, the markup on the items is as high as 50%. Lawyer Anthony Busby said, oh, that's a good name, Busby.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like that name?
Like Busby Berkeley?
Jimmy Buffett's not in the business to make money, certainly not anymore. He doesn't appreciate what this guy's been doing. And based on his music, I'm glad he's not in business to make any money. Songs recorded by Buffett 59 include Margaritaville, Changes in Latitude, Changes in Attitude, and Cheeseburger in Paradise. Oh, God.
What about Come Monday?
Yeah, that's when you can play it again, Come Some Monday When I'm Not On.
So this is a song for all of you who've been with us for all of years.
All you drooling yahoos. Acard's attorney, Daryl Affell, said he would vigorously oppose Buffett's efforts. He said he would rebuff them. He said Buffett is a financial empire trying to shut down a small business, calling the complaint a classic case of David versus Goliath. It's like Wayne Huizinga and that poor pizza guy. Remember that?
That's right.
This guy was me.
It was Buster's
Block.
Yeah. And he closed the poor bastard down and drove him out of business. Nice going, Wayne, you grave robber, you maniac, you pockmarked lunatic. Acard had already modified his website in response to complaints from Buffett's lawyers regarding what they said were implied ties between the site and the singer. After taking these steps in good faith to comply with these requests, Jimmy Buffett then sought a restraining order to shut down the site without any warning to Mr. Acard or myself as his attorney, Affell said. The site remained online yesterday. Affell said neither he nor Acard had been given notice of a restraining order. A federal judge in Nevada shut down Acard's last website related to Jimmy Buffett, which was called ParrotsOfTheCaribbean.com. Oh, baby. That Jimmy Buffett. He really sucks. Well, you guys don't like anybody, do you? No, we don't. We like suds.
Well, I've never had a problem with Jimmy Buffett. I don't like him, but, you know.
I don't like him. I don't like his music. I don't like that whole Keys thing, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't like the whole... I mean, how many years I've been in Florida? Over...
About 30 minutes.
Never been to the Keys. Never had any desire to go there. And then, you know what it reminds me of, with all due respect, to, let's see, bitch, there I said it. The scream is what they play on Air America when Pelosi's mentioned. I don't care about Air America. I have no interest in what they play or what they do or what they say. And good luck to you. Okay, said bitch. Congratulations to Butch up a little bit, bitch. And what was I just going to say before you sent me that fax?
I don't know. Oh, the Keys and no interest in the Keys and everything?
I don't.
Well, you don't like the beach,
I guess.
I mean,
do you really have to go to the Keys to get drunk? Josh don't go to the Keys. He gets drunk all the time right there by his house.
Go to the Keys to go to the beach and boat.
See a bunch of queens?
Yeah.
See a bunch of silly queens?
Yeah, that's it.
Run around pointing and saying,
you fag.
Everyone goes to the Keys because of the fags. That's it.
Oh. Believe me, being here, I don't need to go to the Keys to see that.
So, 1 to 2 hour.
Friends, I'm Rush Limbaugh with news of the hottest children's toy this Christmas. And I say Christmas because I believe there is a war on Christmas in this country, and I, for one, refuse to use the word holiday. Of course, I'm talking about the newest offering from EIB Toys, Tickle Me Michael J. Fox. Yes, the doll that shakes uncontrollably when placed in front of a camera. Or when seated in front of a congressional subcommittee. And especially when being interviewed by Katie Couric. And when you squeeze its belly, ladies and gentlemen, the Tickle Me Michael J. Fox doll even speaks. Allow me to demonstrate.
Republicans want me to die!
Oh, adorable! And best of all, the Tickle Me Michael J. Fox doll fits perfectly in your young child's arms because the Tickle Me Michael J. Fox doll is actual size. So, this Christmas when someone asked, what's shaking? The answer is, the Tickle Me Michael J. Fox doll from EIB Toys. Mega Diddos!
Oh, God, 103 at 560 WQM. Let's pass this along again, although it's only Wednesday. But just remind me the next 2 days because I'm very forgetful.
Let's pass this along. Remember that O.J. story that you read today and 2 weeks ago and everything like that? Here's somebody sending it over and over and over again.
We had that story about the O.J. book and the TV show and all this other crap, If I Did It, weeks ago from the Inquirer.
Oh, man.
And one of the first things I read on the air this morning was the story about O.J. and the Fox two-part thing on the 27th and 29th of this month, and the fact the book is coming out on November 30th.
Oh, man.
So stick it, okay? Quit sending us stuff that we already know about, and I'm sure it must be on our website. Is it on there, Josh? Let me take a look. Let me take a puke at it. I mean, I know I sent it to you, but is it on there for today or for tomorrow? Let's see. One moment, please. You see it? See, Josh would know if he really read these things thoroughly, post to post.
Just
a joke.
I just breezed through those.
Buttons. Just a joke. Will you relax? Jesus, God, are you uptight and out of sight? 1.8 million, Clear Channel, Afghanistan, Cheney next to the... I don't know if it's on there or not. Maybe I didn't send it to you.
Or maybe
well, it'll be on there tomorrow. Whatever, I sent it to you for tomorrow. Whatever the hell I did, it's going to be on there, and I already read it. And leave us alone with your freaking O.J., okay? Take O.J. and put his head in your...
rectum.
Okay, although I'm probably already in there. God. So it's the same person keeps faxing us that story over and over again like we don't know about it?
Well, it's probably my bad for trying to cancel it, because you know what effect that has.
Oh, that's not a good idea, because they're persistent, baby. Persistence pays off. And, of course, once they find out that you don't want it, then they send it 80 million times. What he's really trying to say is O.J.
Killed Nicole.
Yeah, if I'd done it. If chickens peed, man, there'd be a flood on your head, O.J., you stupid bastard. Yeah, this is just another way to, what do you get, $3.5 million for this book?
I reckon.
Of which the Goldmans and the Browns will get zippity-doo-dah.
Oh!
Maybe they could get enough to make some shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy. Anyway, see, you got me off my appointed rounds here once again. I understand the method in your madness. We have 1,200 votes, by the way.
Oh!
How do you like that without even pushing this poll? And also, I think I put it on there about, I don't know what was going on with Eric yesterday, because I sent him the poll. I think I faxed it to him like three times. And then finally, around 7:15, he put it up there so I could swish it. He's just getting upset because we had 1,600 votes on the poll while the show was still on yesterday. And he's jealous of that. I think he's pissed off because we're not getting as many reads on those stories as we always did. And that started right after the election was over. It's like, oh, wait, give us a rest now. I understand that. Can't you understand that?
Sure, why not? Whatever.
Give us a breather now, okay? Put on some of those really entertaining calls. Not like that one at the end of the Kenny and Bo show this morning, that Johnny G or Joey, whatever his name was. So you're telling me that's a fake caller?
I don't know that. Just what it sounded like to me.
No. The BSO's DUI task force will be conducting saturation patrols. This is for all you drunks out there, for all your... Actually, I don't know why the hell we do this. Why do we do this?
Because it's a public service, like you
it's
said.
It's not a public service. It's aiding and abetting drunks.
What they're doing is they're doing checkpoints and pulling everybody over and destroying everyone's ability to travel about and mind their own business.
Everybody's
and have a
ability
good time.
To drink and drive
yeah.
and
no.
Anyway.
You've never been stuck in a checkpoint.
The BSO DUI Task Force will conduct saturation patrols this Saturday, November 18, from 8:30 p.m. till 5 a.m. the following morning in areas of North Lauderdale, Oakland Park, and unincorporated Central
Broward!
County. Impaired drivers will be identified, and DUI laws will be actively enforced. They're going to throw your ass in a slammer and your car, too, and impound your house and your dog and your kids and everybody, and your minor bird and your cockatoo. This information is published and complies with a Supreme Court ruling mandating prior announcement of selective service and selective enforcement activity. Yada, yada, yada. In other words, it's on there because the law requires them to do it. The Supreme Court has said you got to put it on there. You can't just all of a sudden, surprise, you know, like, here you go, pull over and we'll give you the old
shakedown. They're pulling
everybody
over. They put cones out in the road and block
cones?
All the traffic and make sure that nobody gets
Jew
by and make
again?
You sit there for an hour.
There. If they're putting cones out in the road, they ought to put Stanley J. Cohen out there, I'll tell you that. My former boss at INZ, who used to drive that yellow Seville, we used to call it the Pimpmobile. Wow. Nothing like a guy named Stanley J. Cohen in Opa-locka, no less, where the station was, INZ and I-95, which later became Zeta, out there in the middle of, actually, that's Carroll City. Isn't that what I just said?
Let's
I said Opa-locka. Well, it's close to Opa-locka.
Yes, it
but
is.
But it's Carroll City. And of course, Carroll City ain't far from where the stadium is, which is right about where you are right now, right down the road.
Yeah.
Right by your drug dealer.
Yeah.
And the barber shop and Chuck in the sub center. And of course, the diner. The stadium diner. Isn't that what that's called?
Yes.
Remember we got those omelets from the stadium diner that time?
That one time, yeah.
Joshua Holland writes on the Smirking Chimp, public school teacher gives lesson in right-wing Christian tolerance. Oh, boy. That was depressing, that story about the exchange student from Poland.
Mm-hmm. He got off lucky.
It's all depressing. Huh?
He got off lucky.
A history teacher at the local public high school in Kearney, New Jersey, may have bitten off more than he cares to chew this fall. Self-described conservative Baptist David Paskowitz used his history class to proselytize biblical fundamentalism over the course of several days at the beginning of this school year. Among his remarks in open class were statements that a being must have created the universe, that the Christian Bible is the Word of God, and that dinosaurs were aboard Noah's Ark. If you do not accept Jesus, he flatly proclaimed to his class, you belong in hell. All right. This is a public school teacher. Referring to a Muslim student who had been mentioned by name, he lamented what he saw as her inevitable fate should she not convert. In an attempt to promote biblical creationism, he also dismissed evolution and the Big Bang as non-scientific, arguing by contrast that the Bible is supported by what he calls confirmed biblical prophecies. Duh. After taking the matter to the school administration, one of Paskowitz's students, junior Matthew LeClaire, requested a meeting with the teacher and the school principal. You go, Matt. LeClaire, a non-Christian, was requesting an apology and correction of false and anti-scientific statements. After 2 weeks of meetings took place in the principal's office, wherein Paskowitz denied making any of the comments, claiming that LeClaire had taken his remarks out of context. Paskowitz specifically denied using the phrase, you belong in hell. He also asserted he did nothing different in this class than he's been doing in 15 years of teaching. Here's the sweet part. At the end of the meeting, LeClaire revealed he had recorded the remarks and presented the principal with two compact discs. Curses, it says, foiled by modern science. The teacher then declined to comment further without his union representative. However, he fired one last shot at the student, saying, you got the big fish. You got the big Christian guy who's a teacher. This guy will certainly go down as a martyr of the ACLU's insipid political correctness and another good Christian oppressed by evil secularists. No apology has been forthcoming from the teacher or from the school. The parents state that because of the administration's inaction, they've taken the matter to the school board this week, from whom they are awaiting a response. Apparently, this Matt LeClaire is a pretty cool kid. Last year, he made an impassioned defense of his refusal to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Like I said, you go, Matt. Our kind of guy. As Mark Foley would say, send us a picture. When I sit out the McCarthy-era version of the pledge, it is not because I don't care about respect or love my country, he said. Just the opposite is because I do. Our country has taken many dangerous turns lately. We've given away many of our freedoms through the so-called Patriot Act. Radical elements threaten to turn our democracy into a theocracy. Groups the majority doesn't understand, like homosexual intellectuals and liberals, are regularly treated with scorn, contempt, and disrespect. Hey, Matt.
You fairy.
I don't sit because standing is too hard or because reciting the pledge takes too long. It would be much easier to stand and not have people telling me I'm unpatriotic, a communist, or I'm spitting on America. Most of these comments haven't been made by students, but teachers and staff members, the adults who are supposed to be teaching us citizenship. Standing would be a small act indeed. Sitting is the big one. Nice going, Matt. How do you like that?
Great. Him for president.
It says in this story, P.S., one or more of you just read on some right-wing blog about a Muslim school teacher in Tashkent who told his class something equally offensive. You're about to write the comments that my failure to cover that important story proves once and for all that I'm hateful and abusive toward all Christians, despite the fact that Mr. Paskowitz is clearly a nutjob who represents a tiny minority thereof. Don't do it. Why? Because I don't live in Uzbekistan. I don't pay taxes in Uzbekistan, nor would I send my children to an Uzbekistani school if I had any. I have no clue whether the Uzbekistani constitution guarantees the separation of church and state, but ours does. On a very fundamental level, I don't care what people say in Tashkent. I'm not the AP or Reuters and make no claim to covering everything that you might find interesting, only what I do. And if you see a story about a Muslim teacher in an American public school trying to similarly indoctrinate his or her students, email it to me and I guarantee I'll receive the news with equal offense and snarky opprobrium. How do you like that?
Ooh, snarky.
Writes Joshua Holland. Snarky opprobrium, all right. He used to play second base for the Pirates. 1210, WCAU, Philadelphia. What is it with all these old AM,
it's called living in the past.
It's old stuff. Remember I did that poll about stuff that I talk about too much? Too much old stuff, old radio stations, back when your radio was actually worth owning.
The biggest names, the best talent.
Like a few cents.
About 30, man.
Sports Radio 560 QAM. The biggest names, the best talent. It's the Kenny and Bo Morning Show. Weekday 7 to 10. Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Take off those checkered pants.
Mohammed and David here at WAM. I am here, and you are... Damn it, I can't say it anymore. They took that from me. Thanks in no small part to that midday show guy.
Who, Boca?
Yeah, that's the guy. Whoever the hell that is.
You met him.
I did.
Yes, out in the hallway.
I don't know who it was, whatever.
Let's take some calls, then, shall we? Prestigious Budkalia City. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Mo.
Yeah, yeah, what do you know? What is it?
When are people going to realize this? This is a sports show and nothing else.
Absolutely.
Nothing exists outside the gay world of sports.
Yeah, and by the way, some, they paid me to ogle and admire men. This here is a show for men. About men. Like smelly bears and chaps.
You stole the pizza?
Huh?
You stole the pizza?
I did not take no pizza.
You stole the pizza?
Don't be ridiculous.
You stole the pizza?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Stole the pizza?
I didn't steal no pizza.
Stole the pizza?
No, I did not steal no pizza.
Stole the pizza?
Now see here. I ain't no pie burglar.
Stole the pizza?
I did not steal
the pizza.
I only had one slice. Well, okay. So it was a whole pie. Who cares? Those bums had no power. I was hungry. I sacrifice a lot, too, you know. There was no Dr. Brown's. Just don't taste the same without the Dr. Brown's. That's Brutus. As Admiral once said, good night and kiss my ass.
118 at 560. Boy, do we miss him or what, huh?
No.
No?
Well,
1,214 votes on the poll. I'm sure that a part of the audience, the sadistic part, or maybe the masochistic part, misses them. Can you believe the sun is shining? Oh, look at that. There's the tsunami in eastern Japan, a 16-inch high wave. And there's all the Japanese on CNN. You see that?
It might be thought that all this
what the
is
hell?
A big fuss about
oh.
waves.
Oh, my God.
You know, that's a good, that is an excellent poll, which I don't think we've done in a long time. Who's the most objectionable person who's ever on your TV screen? Richard Quest and Rita Cosby.
Any cases causing serious loss of...
I mean, there is a hyena, a donkey's ass with donkey teeth. I mean, who just as obnoxious as any Brit could possibly be or any subhuman could be. I was going to say human. I turned over to MSNBC to see if Rita was on, but they're in commercial. Okay, so maybe we'll be fortunate enough to get Richard Quest and Rita Cosby back to back. Wouldn't that be great?
Sure.
This story just makes me want to do a number 1, 2, 3, and 4 right on the floor. Fox News reporters freed for $2 million. Terrorists used cash for arms to hit Zionists. Payment said to encourage more abductions.
Great. Fox News helping wherever they can.
No, no. Palestinian terror groups and security organizations in the Gaza Strip received $2 million from the U.S. from a U.S. source in exchange for the release of Fox News employees Steve Santani and Olaf Wig, who were kidnapped last summer in Jerusalem. A senior leader, one of the groups suspected of the abductions, told World News Daily, WorldNet Daily. The terror leader from the Gaza-based Popular Resistance Committee said his organization's share of the money was used to purchase weapons, which he said would be utilized to hit the Zionists. He said he expects the payments for Santani and Wig's freedom will encourage Palestinian groups to carry out further kidnappings. Officials associated with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas's Fatah party and its security organization, the Preventative Security Forces, confirmed to WND money was paid for the release of the Fox News reporters. A senior leader of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade terror group, the declared military wing of Fatah, said the group received a small percentage of the $2 million, which all parties interviewed said was transferred in cash. Santani and Wig were released last August after being held hostage by a terrorist in Gaza for nearly 2 weeks. Shortly before their release, a video was issued showing the two dressed in beige Arab-style robes and appearing to convert to Islam. Wig, a New Zealand citizen, gave an anti-Western speech with his face expressionless. Santani later explained he and Wig were forced to convert to Islam at gunpoint. 1 week after the abduction, WND broke a story. A clan from the Gaza Strip, which leads terror cells of the Popular Resistance Committees, were prime suspects in the kidnappings. Senior Palestinian officials told WND their investigation of the abductions led them to the Dugmash family based in Khan Yunis and Gaza City. They said they have evidence the clan was heavily involved. And it goes on, ba-da-beep, ba-da-boop, ba-da-bop, and $2 million in cash was transferred to the Preventative Security Services, but we still don't know where it came from. You don't think it could be from Rupert Murdoch, do you? And anybody at Fox News, huh? To get their people out so that the terrorists... Because I thought we didn't negotiate with kidnappers and terrorists. Isn't that the old saw that we're always hearing about?
Well, that was the old way, but it's when it's our people, you know.
Right. Whatever you say. Disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff convicted of federal charges after using expensive gifts, campaign donations, and exotic trips to win access to the powerful in Washington, reported to prison this morning. To which we say,
all right.
Abramoff arrived at about 6:30 this morning at a relatively secluded prison facility in western Maryland and began to serve a nearly six-year prison sentence for a fraudulent deal to buy a fleet of Dania Beach-based fleet of Sun Cruiser casino ships in 2000. Abramoff was delivered out of sight of waiting reporters and camera crews, and his arrival was announced in a two-paragraph statement by a prison representative. The part of the camp where Abramoff will be kept, oh, he's going to be held in camp, good, is a 334-bed minimum security facility located near an industrial park along the north branch of the Potomac River. Abramoff pleaded guilty in January and lying on financial statements and creating phony documents to persuade lenders to back a bid for Sun Cruise. Abramoff's been cooperating with prosecutors in a wide-ranging Justice Department inquiry of bribery and influence peddling in the federal government. He could hold the key to a sweeping corruption case involving Congress, members of the Bush administration, and their aides, and prosecutors said putting their star witness behind bars would impede the investigation. But a Miami federal judge refused to delay the sentence, meaning Abramoff's cooperation will have to continue from prison, where he'll be inmate number yada, yada, yada. His lawyers had no comment. I got his inmate's number on here if you want to communicate with him. No.
All right.
I beg your pardon?
I'm good, thanks.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Josh is going to watch Match Point tonight and give us a report tomorrow. It's like doing a book report for school, you know? I watched American Dad last night, and I thought it was just fine. It was funny as hell, and it was great.
Mm-hmm. It's a good show.
Stuff that needs to be said.
Right.
And you know, I thought it was only me. You know, I'm sure not only me, but this thing with log cabin Republicans, it's like Jews for Jesus, you know? It's like blacks for the Klan. It just doesn't make any sense.
My favorite
it's called
part.
People with a right. Death Wish.
Did you like his little play, his Abraham Lincoln play?
Yeah. And how come Abe Lincoln got involved now?
Yay.
Oh, yeah. That was cute. A lot of deep significance in that thing. It's really deep.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what's going on at QAM. It's very, very deep. And I wish you'd quit picking on poor Kenny. Not personal. It's business.
I'm not picking on him. I would like to see him do the kind of show that I know he wants to do.
Yeah. In other words, that you would listen to.
Or anybody else, for that matter. It's more important that other people want to listen to it.
Oh, no.
You're taking this very personal.
Yeah, it's business, and I think somebody's going to be taking it personal. And then you know what's going to happen? If they fail, because of your negativity, I'm the one that's going to take the blame. Oh, that Neil, he makes sure everybody else fails, you know? He wouldn't support Chuck Meyer in that great morning show on IOD. And yeah. Doesn't support the music on Zeta, right. I hope everybody on the station gets double-digit numbers in the ratings, okay?
That's right.
Because it makes more money for us.
Right.
I mean, what would you rather be? Would you rather be like on the Titanic and trying to hang on for dear life? Or would you rather be like on, you know, some luxury cruise ship that's like sailing along with us, everybody singing a happy song? You
I
know
want
what I'm
all
saying?
To have 100 share.
There you go. All day, every day.
All day.
24/7.
That's
just like
right.
Woodbine's open. And you realize that the slots at Gulfstream, I believe, if we had a reporter there, we would know for sure. But have we had anybody fax us anything? No.
No. We'd
probably take a call or two on it, but I'm sure we won't get any. And I don't want to go there, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to have to be that desperate to open up and start taking calls to find out what the deal is. But they've been open an hour and a half almost, and the world is still spinning. The sun is shining here. I bet the sun is shining there.
Yes.
Somewhere. Yeah, and the birds are still. And look at that. It's 48 degrees here already. It's going to be 50. How do you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that toasty?
It is.
And there's a little bit of sunshine for the first time in days. There's actually the sun is up there. You know what's going to happen on Friday?
Well, we're going to get some ice cream and maybe some weenies.
Right. What do you mean maybe some weenies?
Well, I don't know.
Yes.
Up heinies.
This is 2020.
George, the Republicans had their ass handed to them during the elections. Here's a recording of what Dick said during his campaigning.
The President of the United States is dishonest. The President of the United States purposely misled the American people.
What do you think about that?
Dick Cheney's
bash and a faithful Muslim.
Well, George, we got a surprise for you. Here's Dick Cheney himself.
George.
Dick, what are you doing with that BB gun?
Dick Cheney's an ass.
What are you doing?
George, I had no idea you were there.
Are you crazy?
I'm the guy who pulled the trigger and shot
the President of the United States.
Didn't know he was there.
Dick Cheney can off
tonight on 2020.
All right, 131 at 560. Some really interesting editing in that bit, I noticed.
Mm-hmm. I didn't do that one.
I beg your pardon?
That one wasn't one of mine.
I know. 1,232 votes. What do you mean by that? I thought it was just fine. It just, you know, keeps your head
odd.
Spinning a little bit.
I did,
like
I
Linda Blair in The Exorcist.
I thought it was
spinning
off.
Spinning around like a dreidel. Ed Foley, the father of former Representative Mark Foley, died last night. How do you like that?
Well, I don't.
The cause isn't known yet, but Ed Foley was diagnosed with cancer in 2004. Mark Foley, let's see, he's still said to be in a rehab facility in Arizona, undergoing treatment for alcohol and behavioral issues.
You fairy!
In 2004, when Foley dropped out of the race for U.S. Senate, he cited his father's recent cancer diagnosis as the reason. He's always been there for me, and I have to be there for him, Foley said at the time, and now he's in rehab. Miss Foley. As we turn another page in the history of the, in the tragic history of the Foley family, I guess. Is that bad? That in bad taste, turning another page?
Whatever.
Over. 532 votes. We could have made 13 today easy, but why the hell put a lot of pressure on, huh?
That's right.
Just ease into it, man. Ease into it, ease out of it. Senator Jew Lieberman, the now independent Democrat from Connecticut, could be the most powerful member of the U.S. Senate, according to a front-page article that was in today's edition of the New York Times. It's hard to imagine how Lieberman could have emerged better from last week's election, wrote Mark Leibovich. He was reelected comfortably in the Democratic Party he still belongs to, is now in a majority, yet that majority is slim enough to turn Lieberman into arguably the Senate's most influential member. You know anybody out there who's got an influential member? I bet you that Brady Quinn's got an influential member. Leibovich notes that if Lieberman were to leave the Democratic Party, the Senate would effectively be under Republican control because, under Constitution rules, Vice President Dick Cheney gets to cast tie-breaking votes. It was very painful for him to have all these people he thought were his friends embrace his opponent, whiny, equally whiny, GOP Senator Susan Collins is quoted as saying, Kenneth Moss whiny, Susan Collins or Jew Lieberman. Now not only is he reelected resoundingly, but he's also the key to which party controls the Senate. She was whining. Now, do we ever find, I think they're in a nonstop spot on MSNBC. I don't think they're ever going to go, or am I on, I don't know where I'm on. I want to see if Rita's on, your girlfriend.
What?
All right.
Nice timing.
Woo! The Times article also reveals that Lieberman, according to people close to him, is still miffed, if not bitter, about the support his unknown, untested, and unfamiliar Democratic challenger Ned Lamont received from the senator's party's allies. Well, the reason that Lamont got the support is that he isn't Jew Lieberman. He's not a turncoat. He's not a
Faker.
George Bush-licking, right-wing, Israel-firster lunatic. I would say that Jew Lieberman is the Wolf Blitzkrieg of politics, and that Wolf Blitzkrieg is the Jew Lieberman of so-called journalism. I use the term very loosely. Despite being disappointed with Karl Rove's election performance, President Bush has agreed to keep his chief political advisor for the remainder of his administration. Administration sources said Mr. Rove sought to stay with Bush until the end of his presidency. The sources said, despite pressure on the president to reshuffle his staff for next year, Mr. Bush wants Mr. Rove by his side. Mm-hmm. He knows too much, source said. The last thing the president wants is another published memoir and book tour of life inside the White House. Wouldn't that be sweet? I'd buy that one. The sources said Mr. Bush was unhappy with the failure of Rove's election strategy, which focused on national security. They said the GOP defeat would probably lead to a different relationship between the two men. For his part, the president appeared to blame Rove for the Republican Party's election strategy based on the notion that there would be no significant swing vote. In a jocular tone that accompanied a steely gaze, Bush portrayed himself as working the campaign circuit while Rove sat in the White House strategizing. I obviously was working harder in the campaign than he was, Bush said of Rove. Ha ha ha, ha ha. With that stupid-ass Dumbo laugh, with that grin. The sources said Mr. Rove would be the exception to plans for an overall administration shakeup. They said the resignation of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld would launch a wave of departures from the White House as part of an effort to ensure cooperation with the Democratic-led Congress. The goal here is survival, a GOP strategist. It's kind of like us here at QAM. The goal is survival. And now that we got Greg Reed back in the building with his zoot suit on all the time, over there at Power 96, allegedly going to straighten their act out, maybe get some of that rigatoni music off the air that Tanner is killing him with. Can you believe that? Talk about a bad penny. What do they say about a bad penny?
Always showing comes up. Back. Yeah.
No, something like that. As a result, the president envisions cooperation with the Democratic-controlled Congress on issues such as Iraq and immigration. The sources said the administration's domestic agenda, highlighted by Social Security reform and tax cuts, would be shelved as the Democrats seek to reverse the achievements of the outgoing GOP-led Congress. The achievements, my ass. I think this ends 26 years of hard-right conservatives, said Senator Joe Biden of Delaware, referring to last week's election results. I think they closed the book on that, to which we say,
all right.
Thanks, God. Close the book on it, baby. Although, don't close it too hard. It might bleed. 1,241 votes on the poll. Let's see how they're doing. Which religious group is the most malignant? Born-again Christians, 596, almost half, 48%. I think we're alienating the born-again Christians just like you're alienating our good friends in the morning show there.
Gee.
Born-again Christians, 596. Muslims, 316. Well, that's not even close. Not even close. The born-agains have got almost half of the votes, and the Muslims only a little over a quarter, 25.4%. Scientologists have got 105, which I think that's more than there actually are Scientologists. How many members do you think they have worldwide?
Oh, worldwide?
About 30, man.
A million?
I hate this poll, 94, 7.5%, which we take great umbrage, and we're pretty PO'd about that. Not. Catholic 66, just edging out narrowly Orthodox Jews with the big hats and the tefillin and the long beards and all the shmatas on. 64 for the Orthodox Jews, the real ultra-farbison, out of 1,243 votes. Not too shabby, not bad, not spectacular. But like I said, I think now in the holidays are here, and of course everybody's out shopping. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Don't we, like, move into a different gear now from this point till the end of the year, till after New Year's?
Right, high gear.
We're into a different gear. And I think basically the good philosophy, like you said a little while ago, is we'll just show up when we feel like it, as the mood strikes us, you know?
Sure.
If we feel like we're obligated to be here on a given day, then we'll all show up. If not, maybe one or two of us won't show up. And then if none of us, you know, if we happen to get up on, you know, like our biorhythms are all the same on a given day, nobody shows up. And then they can stick a nice sports show in there from 10 to 2 for a while.
Right, like they want to.
And then Clarence will say, wow, did you hear that? That was really great. None of that fag talk. I got news for you, man. I know more about Brady Quinn than all your sports people put together, okay? He could play on my team. And the fact that I'm rooting for Notre Dame when I see them play, that is disgusting. Just like me rooting for Michigan when Tom Brady was playing there. That is disgusting. As a Spartan from Michigan State, even though I think I attended about 8 classes there, but nevertheless, to be rooting for teams just because they got a real hot quarterback, that is the ultimate in faggery. And I confess to it readily and enthusiastically and very happily. You know what I'm saying?
What are you saying?
I don't care. Love Notre Dame, baby. How does that fight song go, Notre Dame fight song, Josh? How does that go? Oh, yeah, that's it. Very good. George is a big Notre Dame fan. The Fighting Irish. Touchdown, Jesus.
Who doesn't know that?
21 till 2 at 560 WQMC. And Clarence thinks we don't do sports on his show. You silly queen, you silly little pusey.
Decriminalize pot in Florida.
Absolutely.
you fairy.
Hard work good and hard work fine. First take care of head, that's why I smoke two joints in the morning. I smoke two joints at night. I smoke two joints in the afternoon. It makes me feel alright.
Alright.
I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of woe. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints.
At 560 WQM, just minutes away from the Jim Mandich Show. Mr. Mad Dog at 2, and then, of course, Mr. Mad Dog and Mr. Humper at 4 to 5 with the Power Hour. Hank from 5 to 7. Then we got a bunch of hurricane stuff. Craig Mish is in for Eddie K at 10 o'clock tonight with a little mishmash because Eddie K is on the way to Vegas. How do you like that? What a deal, huh? Can you see me doing my show from Vegas?
Why not? Let's do that.
How about I do my show from Woodbine Mon?
Okay.
Right up by my favorite machine Mon. I don't think so. A former telemarketer has agreed to plead guilty in a Republican phone jamming plot against New Hampshire Democrats 4 years ago. Sean Hansen. I wonder if he was one of the Hansons.
Mm-bop.
Don't you dare. Don't you even think about it.
Coming right up.
Don't do it.
I won't. You know, I can't say either.
Sean Hansen faces. I told you there was one good song they had where he was like pounded on the piano, and I remember the video, and it was pretty good.
You can make me find it now.
You don't have it. You already told me you ain't got it. Sean, and the audience is very grateful that you ain't got it. Sean Hansen faces two federal counts of conspiracy to commit interstate telephone harassment in a deal with prosecutors. No sentencing date was posted. In 2002, Hansen owned Milo Enterprises. I wonder if that's kin with Milo Hamilton, the baseball announcer. An Idaho telemarketing company prosecutors say received $2,500 to place hundreds of hang-up telephone calls to Democratic get-out-the-vote phone banks and a ride to the pool line run by Manchester's Firefighters Union. Three former Republican officials were convicted in the phone jamming plot. Former State Republican Committee Executive Director Chuck McGee served 7 months in federal prison after admitting to devising the scheme. He devised it and did it. Chuck McGee. I wonder if he was kin to Frank McGee, who used to be on NBC News. Remember him with the glasses, Frank McGee? Of course you don't.
No.
He was on he died before you were, like, born, Frank McGee.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he was kin to Fibber McGee.
Who?
1260, 1260, there it is again, WAMLM in Albion, Michigan. Maybe I'll go to Albion. Maybe I'll go back there to close out my career. Wouldn't that be great?
Would it? Right back where you started from?
I didn't start there. I started in Batavia, New York, Mr. WBTA Batavia. Think I should go back there?
Uh-huh.
Go to the track, Batavia Downs? Pope John Paul II on a fast track to sainthood.
Oh, my gosh.
This is just... I don't know, one of those where you don't know whether to laugh or cry, you know? Although the Catholics are just barely edging out the Orthodox Jews on our malignant pool. Like I said, a lot of this audience is willing to overlook many, many years of butchering and molesting and all those things, you know?
Sure.
Small potatoes.
That's right.
The Vatican could soon bestow sainthood. What is it again?
Bestow.
Could soon bestow sainthood upon Pope John Paul II, the slob on a slab. The late pontiff is believed to have had a hand in two divine interventions that led to the miraculous recoveries of terminally ill patients.
Oh!
All right. Wow. He heals the sick. The Vatican is currently investigating claims made earlier this month that a man was miraculously cured of lung cancer that doctors said was beyond remedy. The man's wife attributes the recovery to an intercession by Pope John Paul II, who died in April of last year. The apparently wondrous healing of Nicola Grippa of Salerno, Italy, is not the first posthumous miracle attributed to Karol Joseph Wojtyla, the former Polish pope. Following a second miracle assigned to the Pope earlier this year, the development could help to fast-track John Paul II's path to sainthood. I can't even read it. I'm so tongue-tied. Saint John. You know what it reminds me of? It's like the British. with all these knightings, Sir Elton John and Sir Cliff Richard and Sir all this other crap to Sir with love, you know. Mm-hmm. The Vatican's congregation, Sir Brady Quinn.
Sir Loin of Beef.
Mm. The Vatican's Congregation for the Causes of Saints, casually known as the Saint Factory, is also looking into claims that John Paul II interceded on behalf of a French nun who was incapacitated by Parkinson's disease. Oh, where is he now that we need Michael J. Fox and Rush Limbaugh need him to straighten that problem out, that debate? After members of our community prayed for the intercession of the deceased pope, who during his lifetime had suffered from the same degenerative disease, the elderly woman experienced a complete lasting recovery. He was already dead. How do you like that? Now that's a saint. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Similarly, Griffith's wife Elizabeth says that after she prayed to Pope John Paul II on behalf of her ailing husband, Wojtyla appeared to her in a dream, holding a small child in his hand and walking on a road of white cobblestones, Mr. Griffith told La Stampa newspaper. The 76-year-old man was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago, and doctors told him the tumors which had spread to his lungs, kidney, and spine were inoperable and would soon kill him. Archbishop Gerardo Piero brought the case to the Vatican after he learned of the medically inexplicable recovery from doctors at San Leonardo Hospital in Salerno. The recovery has lasted, he told Il Mattino newspaper November the 2nd, and a year and a half later, the inexplicable remains confirmed. It was a prodigious intervention, a miracle of the first order, Piero said. How do you like that?
Mm-hmm.
A prodigious intervention, not just a regular pedestrian, ordinary intervention, a prodigious one.
I heard he used this prodigious.
Where did he stick it? That's the question.
Rectum.
It'll be the first time. So anyway, OJ's got the book coming out November 30th, If I Did It. And what a... Seriously, there are some things that just leave you limp. You know what I mean? They leave you so weak that you just didn't want to... You don't want to dignify them with a response. You know, like, what's there to say? And the best part of it is that a bunch of idiots are going to go out there and buy it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, they will. And he'll make some money.
A bunch of real... Like these crazy people in that story I just got through reading about the miracles. The Pope came to them in a dream. He was holding a small child. Maybe Mark Foley's going to come to them in a dream holding a child. Maybe not quite that small.
It's Dave!
Oh, ho!
In Miami Town.
Absolutely.
At 560-WQAM.
Hi, this is OJ. Since I've been released from jail, I like to keep track of my bitches. So I recommend to you new O.J. Simpson's Bitch Jack for Women. Believe me, brothers, you won't get jacked with Bitch Jack. Just attach the small homing device to your bitch's leg, and you can track her all around town. And just in case she's cheating, she'll get a beating. You see, when your woman be messing around, new Bitch Jack for Women lets out an inaudible beeping sound that only you can hear. And once they catch her, she's all yours.
Excuse me, Mr. Simpson. We tracked down your old lady with a white man. What shall we do with her?
Why, thank you, officer. I'll handle this. You bitch. Don't you know I'm tracking you with Bitch Jack? I'm gonna cut your throat, you bitch. I'm gonna...
So remember, your hoes won't get very far with O.J. Simpson's new Bitch Jack for Women. Hey, just because O.J.'s free don't mean your bitches got to be free, too.
Bitch Jack.
Bye, bye, bye.